the WCLT Sports Presentation.
Here he goes.
It's time for the High School Football Game of the Week on K98.7. Tonight's game is brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating, Lickie Memorial Health Systems, Kasep's Auto Body and Service Center.
He's got a man open!
Trillium Farms, Mike's Roofing, and Wind Waste Innovations.
Touchdown!
This is High School Football on K98.7.
From Swank Field at Heath High School, it is the High School Football Game of the Week as the Bulldogs play host to the Mount Vernon Yellow Jackets. Hi, everybody. Brian Mays, Garrett Wando on a warm, humid evening here at Heath High School, and we'll see if weather may play a role, and hopefully it will cool down a bit when the sun goes down, but right now it is very warm here. Meteorologist, what temperature are you going with at the moment?
Going with about 82.
You're always within two, 84 degrees. Well done. Let's focus on this one. And, Garrett, I think this is a very intriguing matchup for both ball clubs as they get ready for league play starting next week. The Jackets coming in 2-2. Heath's had a very difficult non-conference schedule at 1-3. But a win by either one of these teams would give them a lot of momentum heading into next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a game, too, that both of these teams feel like they can win. This is both a winnable game for both of these teams. The Yellow Jackets coming off a bit of an upset last week against Johnstown. They won 35-34 last week. And then Heath, of course, they had to just go against Licking Valley, who's just a really, really strong team. They fell to them 41-14. So I think it's important, too, for Heath to just get some momentum here at Swank Field, you know, on their home field. Because last year they went 4-1. They defend their home field very well. Still winless this year on their home field.
This is in the middle of a three-game homestand as well, so you have it. And while you're at home, it's not easy. You mentioned Valley. They're obviously the team that everyone's looking at this year in the Licking County League. Then you've got Mount Vernon, who's improved. And next week, here comes Johnstown. So you're looking on paper. This is the one you really want to get.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be, I mean, this team and Johnstown, very similar, you know, play style. It's going to be very dominant on the ground. You know, what we heard, the Mount Vernon quarterback is a big part of their offense, primarily running the football. So I'm sure Heath knows that. They've watched the film. They're ready. They've got a good game plan. But, you know, we saw it with last week with Newark and Groveport. It's one thing knowing the team is going to run in the ball. It's another thing being able to stop it.
The Jackets got 391 yards rushing against Johnstown, a pretty good defense last week. And as Garrett alluded to, their quarterback, Mason Richards, had 308 of those 391 rushing yards on just 21 carries. He seems to be elusive and quick, and the Bulldogs will have their hands full with him tonight. When we return, we'll hear from both head coaches, including first Mount Vernon's head coach Mark Weber, followed up by Heath Bulldog coach Tim Ward. That's next as you're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on K98.7.
Trillium Farms, one of the leading egg producers in the country, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, we want you on our team. We're hiring maintenance technicians with industrial or agriculture backgrounds. Pay is $22.50 to $30 an hour based on experience with a very competitive benefits package. View our current job openings or apply online at versova.com. V-E-R-S-O-V-A.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
Tank top, sweater, raincoat, snow parka. Which was it this morning when you left home? Hi, Chase Houston of Houston Plumbing and Heating. Ohio weather isn't predictable, but one thing sure is, York and Houston. For comfort you can count on year-round, call us today for a free estimate on an energy-efficient York heating and cooling system. When the temperature outside is up and down, York and Houston Plumbing and Heating will keep your inside cozy and comfy. Call us today at 740-763-3961. One call does it all. Ohio license number 25394.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating and Lincoln Memorial Health Systems on K98.7.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us as we get ready for your battle with Heath. You come in with a record of 2-2, already matching last year's win total. Have you been able to see the progress? We talked about it in the offseason. You wanted this team just to continue to improve and get better. Are you seeing that through 4 weeks?
Yeah, for sure. We've just been focused on basically that, exactly that, just improve week by week. And, you know, when people say that, you better keep going or you better keep trying to climb the mountain, you know. So we can't get we can't get happy with the only matching two wins. So, yeah, this is a fun group that, you know, they get heart every time they step on the field. And obviously have a really good game Friday night and have a really good schedule ahead of us.
I look at the two defeats, and they're only by a one score in both of those. And you had a chance to win those. When you take on Johnstown, who had a great season last year, and they started off 2-1 this year, and to win a game like in the clutch, is that kind of important for a team like, you know, you're still, the guys are still trying to learn how to win, and but I think this could be a big stepping stone with getting a victory like that.
Yeah, we talked about that. You know, we're 2-2, which is pretty average if you look at it. That's, it's really 2-2 is the definition of average, right? Two wins, two losses. So, you know, if these guys want to prove that they're above average or better than what they think is average, because I ask them, you know, do you think you're average? And they all think no, or do you think we're better than that? Well, the numbers have to show that you're better than that. So this would be a game that gets us above average, basically.
The line has played great, especially the offensive line. You've been physical. You've been able to run the football pretty consistently. Has that been one of the major keys to your victory so far this year?
Yeah, those linemen, man, they haven't missed a day in the weight room in the off season, and it shows. So I always talk about that, like, you know, your habits and your abilities are going to show on Friday nights, but that started back in January, you know, so there's really no faking that, right? That's why we're pretty happy with, is it luck? I don't feel like it's luck. It's definitely something that's been prepared, and we just got to continue those habits if we want to win.
And your quarterback has been playing lights out. I think 14 overall touchdowns, over 300 yards rushing last week. And, again, talking to a couple of other people, he's strong but also extremely quick. That's a wonderful combination to have when you're having him run the ball as much as he does.
For sure, yeah. But, you know, we've talked to the team. Just be prepared that there's going to be a game here. It could be Friday night where they shut that down. That cat's been out of the bag for a few weeks. You know he's quick, and they've watched him grow up, and he's always been here at Mount Vernon. When he does get shut down, who else is going to step up and, you know, tote the rock or catch the rock or whatever we need to do? He hasn't had to show his arm, but he can throw if he's soon enough to win a game if we have.
Heath comes in with a record of 1-3, but they've played two teams that are still unbeaten, and Philo's 3-1, so they've had a very tough non-conference. What does your scouting report say about the Dogs and being on the road Friday night?
Obviously, Swank Field is a great place to play. Atmosphere will be really, really high energy. Heath is a really good team. You know, 1-3, once again, 1-3, but look who they played. We're 2-2, and look who we've played. If both teams are, we could easily be 1-3. I would say they're a very physical team, and what's special about them is they play together. I think a lot of those guys have been playing since they were young together. You could tell. They play with a ton of determination, grit, and they got some speed.
Last question before I let you go, Coach. Again, not trying to put a lot of emphasis on one game, but to go into LCL Buckeye play with a winning record and getting ready for that gauntlet, but to have that momentum going into league play, pretty crucial for your ball club tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not real concerned about the result. We're going to play hard. We're going to tackle hard. We're going to run. You know, if it goes our way, great. If it doesn't, we'll get back up like we have how many other times and play the game of football. So we're really focused on process, run the game plan, tackle hard, block hard, run the ball really hard. You know, hopefully it works out in our favor. But so leading up to the game, if it doesn't work out in our favor, then we probably didn't execute correctly. If it did, we probably executed correctly. It's pretty much that simple.
Keep it simple, and we'll see what happens. Coach, thanks for your time. Good luck against Heath.
Thank you.
Coach, as we get ready for the final non-league matchup before you get ready for LCL Cardinal play, the teams you played, there has been no, I mean, you got two undefeated, one's 3-1, and Academy's 2-2. So you've had the gauntlet once again, just the mindset of this team after four contests.
Yeah, I mean, kids are pretty resilient. They're a lot more resilient than us adults are. So a lot of things sit with me and resonate with me, and I go over and over in my head. And but the kids really come back ready to practice every day and ready to get after it. And so I'm just trying to continue to preach the motto of next play and get better every day. Every play we want to get better throughout practice, and every day we want to get better. We think we had a couple opportunities to win some of those games that didn't go our way, and we came up short, but we're hoping that early season season games that they've prepared us to make a run.
Has there been anything that you've been pleasantly surprised with on either side of the ball after four contests?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of guys that are younger guys that have been playing more of a JV role over the last couple seasons. Jordan Mokel would be one that jumps right out off the page at me. I mean, he's played four games and has four interceptions, including one for a touchdown, and played mainly JV and level three ball last year, put in a really good summer and was here ready to work. So we got a lot of guys like him and a couple other guys in our secondary who are working just really hard to try to find a way onto the field. Cole Brentlinger would be another example. He's a senior who, just because of the way he works every day, has found his way into the rotation on our defensive line. So we've got guys who are definitely progressing in a good way for us.
Offensively, you always like to balance and like the opportunities to keep the defensive off balance as much as you can. Have you seen Gibson kind of still evolve in the role, because he learned it kind of on the job, on the fly last year? Where do you think his progressions are at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he looks really good every day in practice, and then when we get to the game, sometimes it's not showing up in the game exactly the way he would like it to. I mean, the way we would like it to, but a lot of that comes down to just so many things that we can't control in a game. Our offensive line continues to work every day, and they're working on getting better and more consistent, and our receivers are working on trying to get off the ball consistently and things like that. And so Braden continues to evolve as a leader of the team and as a passer, but we've yet to really see it come to fruition during a game, and we're hoping that that will happen here real soon, and I think he's on his way to having a big game.
Mount Vernon comes in 2-2. They've already matched their win total from last year. Coach Weber trying to install a culture up there. The things I know about them, they seem to be physical. They were very physical with Newark in week two. And as we talked about, they do a lot of quarterback run and really say, here we are, try and stop us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. They're big, they're physical. They're guys that aren't big are really fast. So they're a great track team. I've seen that over the last couple of springs with them being in the league and going to track meets and things like that. And so that speed translates onto the field pretty well. I mean, their quarterback might be one of the fastest kids we've seen so far this year. Yeah, they're going to be ready. We went up there last year, and to be honest with you, I think we took them a little bit lighter than we should have. And their kids were ready, and they're going to be ready again, and they're going to be coming in here this year looking to win again. So we've got to do a good job of making sure that we can limit their opportunities to have big plays while creating some opportunities for ourselves to have a big play.
And this is the midst of a three-game homestand, and you've got to take each game. But you had Valley physical team, Vernon physical team. You start the league next week with Johnstown. We don't even say any more than that. So I really look at this as, here comes the second phase of the season. Let's see what the Bulldogs could do. Despite the 1-3 record, kind of the ball's in your court at this point.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the message we're trying to preach to our kids. I mean, I know that that wins and losses aren't probably where they want them right now, and they're not where I want them. I mean, I want to be 4-0 right now, but that's not where it is, and that's not where we are yet as a program. So we're trying to schedule these games so that we can build upon them, and I don't want to. And I tell the guys all the time, I'm not going to go schedule wins. I'm gonna go schedule games that I think are going to prepare us to try to make a run at our league and to try to make a run at the playoffs. And that's what our goal is every year, and that's what it will continue to be every year. We want to win a league championship, and we want to try and put a run together in the playoffs. And I think that scheduling Philo and Columbus Academy and Buckeye Valley, and then scheduling Licking Valley when we didn't have to. I mean, Mount Vernon's our crossover game, so that's kind of scheduled for us. But those other four, we could have chose anybody that we want, and we didn't look for games that were easy wins. We looked for games that were going to prepare us for what we want to do later in the season.
Thank you, Coach. Good luck against Mount Vernon.
Absolutely. Thank you. Go Dogs.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Carpenter's Market in Somerset, proud supporter of all area high school football teams, invites you to stop in and stock up on all the meat, deli, and dairy items you need. They're open 7 days a week and have the best selection of local produce and local beef. While you're in the store, be sure to check out their weekly specials. You'll save real money on their discounted meat boxes. They're the ideal place to stock up for the colder weather to come. Look for Carpenter's Market on Facebook and at 103 South Columbus Street in Somerset.
Volunteering is a great way to stay active and engaged in your community. Lickey Memorial Hospital will host the Polly Mitchin Volunteer Recruitment Event on Tuesday, September 30th from 3 to 4:30 p.m. in the John and Mary Alford Pavilion. Attendees can talk with current volunteers to learn about the vital role that volunteers play in providing support and comfort to patients and visitors. For more information, contact the volunteer office at 220-564-4084.
Listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Kasep's Auto Body and Service Center and Trillium Farms, here on Kate 98.7.
And before we kick things off, let's pause for station identification. This is the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, K98.7.
Brian Mays, Garrett Wannell, we are live from Swank Field for the High School Football Game of the Week between the Bulldogs and the Yellow Jackets as we already hit the midpoint of the 2025 high school football season. We are set to go. The Bulldogs will go left to right to start this thing off, and they will kick off to Mount Vernon to start. So we'll be able to see, I think, right off the bat, Garrett, the physicality up front and what this quarterback can do for Mount Vernon, that being Mason Richards.
Yeah, and this first drive, it will give us a pretty good idea about how well equipped this Heath defense is to deal with that, you know, quarterback rushing attack of Richards and just that big offensive line from Mount Vernon.
Cam Montgomery, who was the kicker last year, doing the duties again this season for the Bulldogs. They are in their camouflage jerseys tonight for Military and First Responder Appreciation Evening, and the kick will bounce and be knocked out of bounds by the Yellow Jackets at about the 25-yard line. I think that would have went out on its own and maybe a penalty, but they touched it, so that's where Mount Vernon will get it, first and 10. And they're going to say he touched it at the 27-yard line, so that's where Mount Vernon will start things off, first and 10. Jackets come in 2-2. Bulldogs are 1-3. Coach Weber, in his second year at Mount Vernon, really trying to turn things around, and he's got the backing of the community. We'll see. This would be a big win for them on the road. Richards in the pistol on first and 10, and he will hand it off, and a good pickup on first down of about 6 yards. That's Ben Fitzpatrick, so maybe already trying to change things up a little bit on the first play.
Yeah, throwing in the running back there on first and 10. But, yeah, I mean, that was a good solid pickup there, about 5 yards there on first down. And, I mean, you can just see the offensive line, even just lining up. I mean, you can notice the size from them.
They are not small by any stretch. Second down, we'll call it 5 from the Mount Vernon 32-yard line, opening possession of this ballgame. Richards will hand it off again, and a big hole on the right side is enough for a first down up to about the 40, and that was Kirkpatrick again. So back-to-back running plays and a easy first down for the Jackets.
Yeah, there, you know, the scouting report shows Richards will be the primary ball handler, but they're mixing it up here a little bit. Like your coach said, they're going to have to eventually mix it up, but you'd rather not be forced into a position where you kind of have to, you know, do something on the fly rather than working other guys along the way when things aren't so, when the pressure isn't on you so deeply.
First and 10 from Mount Vernon's 40-yard line, opening possession of this ball game from Swank Field, Jackets and Bulldogs. Richards this time will fake the handoff and is looking to throw, and he's got a man across midfield spinning to the Bulldog 45-yard line. Yeah, the quarterback's going to run. Sure he is. Two running back plays and now a pass, and the Jackets are on the move. Catch made by Grayson Deem on that first down.
Yeah, that time Richards rolled out. Looked like he may have had the option to run, but instead he trusted his arm. Nice throw there on first down. And yeah, right now, this Yellow Jacket offense is showing a lot different, I think, than what this Heath team was expecting on defense.
First and 10 from Heath's 45-yard line now for the Jackets. Richards in the pistol. as a man come in motion to the right side. And this time he will keep it on an end around. 45, puts his head down. And you can see that burst of speed a little bit. Only a 3-yard pickup there, but he's definitely got some wheels.
Yeah, he's not a guy you want to get, you know, let him get a head of steam built up or let him break out in the open field. So you can definitely tell that. 3 yards right there. So nice job once again on first down, just staying on schedule. And two, you're keeping this Heath defense on their heels. You don't really know what's coming here on second down.
Which is second and 7 from the Dogs' 42-yard line. Richards, 6 foot 190, the senior. And it will be an inside handoff, and Heath did a good job. There was a lot of stuff going on that play with motion, but the Bulldogs stayed home, and it'll bring up a third and long here for Mount Vernon. Actually, they're going to say he lost 2, so it's back to 3rd and 9.
Yeah, that was a nice recovery right there from the Bulldogs defensively. Now you force Mount Vernon an interesting situation here. I mean, you're in Heath territory, but it may be a little bit too far here to go for on 4th down if they don't pick up any positive yards.
It is 4th down and 9. Richards, again, man in motion, this time to the near side, and he will keep it. Gets a couple good blocks, 40, 35. I think it's enough for a Mount Vernon 1st down. It's right at the spot. Let's see. No, I guess he's saying 4th down.
Well, wow, that's tight. Get a measurement, maybe?
They're saying no, he is short.
That's inches.
That is inches.
I wouldn't have hated a measurement right there.
Jackets will go for it on 4th and very, very short. And it's a handoff, and getting the 1st down is the up back. And that was Luke Mullins. And Mullins will get about 3 yards. But it was what Richards could do on 3rd and long.
Right. I mean, just immediately, as soon as he gets a snap, he just looks to run. So, you know, it's kind of just that quarterback designed run, you know, for those Ohio State fans. It's kind of what JT Barrett used to do back in the day.
33-yard line of Heath, 1st and 10. Richards by himself in the backfield. And it now will be a keeper looking to make something happen. Breaks one tackle, then gets tripped up inside the 30 to about the 28. But that's a good 5-yard pickup on 1st down.
Yeah, I think, too, they're just bringing those guys in motion, too, to just keep the defenses. Usually when you bring guys in motion, the defender's eyes follow the guy in motion, right? So it was a fake hand after the guy in motion. Trying to keep, you know, catch the defender sleeping right there to just follow the guy in motion rather than follow Richards, who ended up pulling it, keeping himself.
After this play, in all odds, it'll be under 7 minutes first quarter. So they are doing what they want, controlling the line of scrimmage, controlling the clock, and driving down on Heath's defense. 2nd down and 5. Richards. And it'll be a handoff and getting to about the 25, and a flag comes in very late near the end of the play. It was Jake Hubbard, a freshman, and it's a hold against Mount Vernon. That is a big one. So that will march them back, and the Bulldog defense needed that one.
Yeah, and that's really, as that flag came out, I was just getting ready to say, the only thing that could really slow down Mount Vernon's offense is just penalties, and that's what's going to be really big factors in the Yellow Jackets' offense, just because of how they primarily pick up their yards on the ground. So, still 2nd down here. The way they have been running the football, this is definitely not a drive killer.
2nd and 12 from the 35. Richards, by himself in the backfield, gets the snap. He'll keep it, and he'll find a little bit of daylight. Bulldogs are there for the most part, so probably down to about the 31. So, nope, they're going to say 33. Nope, 31. Back and forth they go. So it's 3rd down and 8 here, and a huge play here for the Dogs D.
Yeah, it's probably 4th down territory, so we'll probably expect another run here. But something, too, Heath is expecting the quarterback run. Actually saw at least one cornerback's eyes, not even on his defender pre-snap. It was just on the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's something that, you know, Mount Vernon, their offense, what Richards can recognize as the game goes on.
3rd and 8 from the 31. Richards gets the snap, and he will throw. He's got a man open on the seam. Catch made, and it's a house call for the Yellow Jackets. Boom! Just like that, 31 yards. Grayson Deem, his second catch on this drive, and that was a pretty good ball.
That was, and good. I mean, his receiver pretty much was wide open right there too, and that was basically what I just said. He was using the cornerback's eyes. The cornerback's eyes, pretty much all of them, are on Richards because they're expecting him to keep it in some form or fashion. He drops back to throw, so the cornerbacks are pretty much immediately beat. So if he's able to throw it like that, you got to keep these Heat defenders got to stay on their heels.
Extra point on the way, and it is good. 5:45, first quarter. Jackets up 7-0 on the high school football game of the week on Kate 98.7.
Score big on Football Friday Night at Whitener's Corner Grill and Pub. Located at the intersection of Routes 37 and 256, just 8 miles south of I-70. Best breakfast around 6 a.m. daily. Fuel up with our delicious pizza, wings, and the famous Andy the Bear Burger. Enjoy daily and nightly specials before or after the game. Heading to Buckeye Lake? Swing by our drive-thru for bait, beverages, and more. Join us at Whitener's Corner for a winning night.
Just like our local teams dominate the field, Win Waste Innovations dominates waste removal. They tackle your toughest disposal challenges with championship-level service for homes and businesses. From residential pickup to commercial solutions, they're the all-pro team you can trust. Score big with reliable local service that keeps our community clean. Visit win-waste.com or call 866-WIN-WASTE. And good luck to all our area teams this season. Go get that win!
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on Kate 98.7.
After the touchdown, a short kick by Mount Vernon, and here comes Heath with a little bit of running room, and the Dogs will have great field position for their first possession of the evening out to the 43-yard line, capping off that drive by Mount Vernon. 10 plays, 73 yards, about 6 minutes off the clock, and they didn't score by rushing. 31-yard touchdown pass on third down, and Mount Vernon up 7-0. So how will the Bulldogs respond? We're going to find out right now. And we've seen Braden Gibson, and we've seen him have good moments and not so good moments, and I think Coach brought up in the pregame confidence with him and consistency. I think those are the two key things.
Well, those are, I mean, that's kind of the game, how the game goes for most quarterbacks, I feel like, especially at this level, is you got to have confidence in yourself, you know, to step in and make those, you know, deep downfield throws.
Gibson in the gun, and a handoff up the middle, and a big hole! 40, 30, 20! How about a house call on the first play for the Heath Bulldogs offense? Ethan Wolf takes it into the end zone, and just like that, he says, you want a 10-play drive? Fine, we'll do it in one play, and it's 7-6.
Well, yeah, that's a perfect way to respond to a drive that just took about 6 minutes, over 6 minutes off the clock. Good job by the Heath offensive line. They got a nice push, and the rest is really history.
One play, 57 yards. Wolf takes it into the end zone, and extra point attempt now for Heath. Let's see if they go for two or go with the standard extra point, which it looks like they will do. But the flag before that, offsides Mount Vernon.
Well, now so you go for two.
Yeah, I think you do. So 5:28 remains in this first quarter. 7-6, Mount Vernon leads it. Both teams scoring on their opening drives. One the conventional way, marching down the field. The other, a one-play home run. Wolf takes it right up the gut. And we talked about Mount Vernon's offensive line. Heath's offensive line paved the way on that one.
Yeah, they did. I'd say the only downside is that your defense for Heath has to go right back out on the field. But I'm sure they aren't complaining because their offense is able to, we'll see, potentially give them the lead.
So they will go for two after the penalty against Mount Vernon. And a chance to take a one-point lead here in the first quarter. Gibson under center. He's got a full house backfield. He'll keep it, and that's no problem. Good surge by the offensive line. So do we have a firework kind of night here at Swank Field? We'll have to find out. But right now, it's looking that way. If he comes right back and takes a 8-7 lead over Mount Vernon at 5:28 remaining in the first quarter. I'm not sure what to... You just didn't expect that, really. You're just like, okay, let's see what we can do and respond. But Ethan Wolfe, the hole was just wide open, and he maybe got an arm on him. Other than that, he was wide open down the middle of the field.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it's a 0-0, right?
I mean,
it gets you're kicking off again for the first time, right? I mean, that's what I'd say, really, for both these teams. I mean, Mount Vernon, I don't expect to see anything different. No need to panic on offense. Your offense just drove down the field with ease. For Heath, we'll see what kind of adjustments they make. You know, we saw a little bit of everything from the Yellow Jackets on the opening drive. They were running with the quarterback, running with the running back, throwing. So I think the important thing is for Heath, too, is not to be so sold out, you know, on stopping the quarterback run on this drive. And, you know, the cornerbacks, I'd say specifically, try to stay disciplined on your receiver.
Montgomery's kick again. It's a line drive. It is fumbled but then recovered by Mount Vernon at their 33 as Fitzpatrick, who has a couple of carries so far tonight, does fall on it. So Jackets will have it at their 33-yard line, now trailing by one to Heath, 8-7. Licking County locker room coming up this Monday. We'll stay with these Heath Bulldogs. We will be talking football as well as girls golf as they claimed a share of the LCL Cardinal Golf Championship. Live at Ship Brothers Monday evening at 6:30. Licking County Locker Room spotlighting the Heath Bulldogs right here on Kate 98.7. First and 10, Mount Vernon at the 33. Their second possession after having a 10-play, 73-yard drive to kick things off. Let's see what they do with a 10-yard upgrade from their first possession. This one at the 33, and this might be the third penalty against Mount Vernon, and it is.
Yep.
False start against the Jackets, so that'll push them back five. So a little sloppy to start things off.
Yeah, now how you want to start, you know, your first play of your drive there. But Yellow Jackets, I mean, based off that opening drive, you know, that's the way they've been able to pick up yards on offense. Not really an issue. We'll see how they do on this drive, though.
They spread it out on this first and 15 from their 28. Richards waits for the snap, and he gets it, and he will keep it. Big hole up the middle, 30, 35, still on his feet, and up to about the 36-yard line. Quick, but not, or should say maybe fast, but not quick. He'll let something develop and then take advantage of it.
Right, he's kind of got that the good ball carrier vision, right? He's, you know, you don't just want to go full speed right behind him, run to your own lineman, right? So he has the burst when he's required, you know, to get that burst. But also, yeah, he's patient, waits for, you know, his blockers to develop open spaces of the field for him to run through.
Second down and six now from the Jackets' 37-yard line. 8-7, Heath leads it first quarter with 4:40 remaining. And here's the handoff to Hubbard. He is met at the line and will go down right there. So you're back to a third down, but now that Heath defense has to wonder, is he going to run or is he going to throw?
Right. You know, I would say it's tough. I mean, I think you just got to play for a pass, right? But, you know, maybe throw a linebacker zone to keep an eye on Richards there.
Third and five from the 37. Richards waits for the snap. He gets it. He will run and breaks one tackle. Cannot break the second. Gets up to across the 40, but is a good 3 yards shy of a first down, so it looks like the Jackets will punt things away.
Yeah, it was a good defensive response by the Bulldogs there, right? They were just kind of dominated on their previous possession, and now they force the Yellow Jackets to go three and out.
And maybe that time the penalty did have more of an impact than it did on that opening possession. Punt is away, short one, but very high. And fair catch made at the 30, and that's where the Bulldogs will get their second possession. So Heath, with a one-play drive, to take the 8-7 lead. Now we'll see what they do on offense for the second time around. Again, this is every team within LCL play tonight having a crossover game between the Buckeye and the Cardinal, and then league play starts for everyone next week. So a lot of bragging rights out there tonight, not just here at Swankfield, but across the county. First and 10, Heath at the 30. Gibson in the pistol on this first and 10. He will look to throw. Little screen to the outside and a pickup of a couple of yards. Not much there. And a little pushing afterwards, but Garrett always says that's not a big deal. J.J. Holloway on the catch for two.
Come on, that's not a big deal. That's just a football, you know. They kind of got tangled up on each other. Now, you know, if there's spit involved or punches, then that's when the flag comes out.
Fair enough. I would agree with you on that play.
Yeah.
Second down and 8 after the 2-yard pickup to Holloway. 2:45, quick moving first quarter. Gibson. As Holloway goes in motion to the right side. And here's the handoff and another good pickup with a first down and more. That is Tristan Jones. And Jones will get across the 40 to about the 43, and that's a first down.
Yeah. And really, after that, you know, one play drive on the ground previously, I don't know why they didn't just go right back to the run on first down there. Had great success with it there, though, on second down, picking up the first. So, yeah, now it's time for this Mount Vernon defense. You know, what are they going to be able to force a stop here? Are they going to be able to stop the run against this Heath Bulldog offense?
First and 10, Heath at their 43-yard line. 2 minutes remain, opening stanza. Gibson, again, out to Holloway, using his speed, midfield, puts his head down, breaks a couple of tackles, and a nice pickup on first down into Mount Vernon territory, down to about the 41.
Yeah, that was just a great play call that time. You had three receivers lined up, only two defensive backs to match them, so it's really just up to your receivers to block their assignments. They did, and that's just pretty much a wide receiver screen properly executed.
They'll officially mark it at the Jackets 40, 17 yards on that first down pickup. Nothing fancy, but working down the field right now for the Dogs. Up 8-7, first and 10, Gibson. And might be the first infraction on Heath tonight, and it will be. False start, we'll move it back to the 45. And I'd say we're in four down territory, knowing Coach Ward. I mean, that started at his own 10, so I think this is where you've talked about four. You don't get it all here on one shot if you need
right.
to. Just start milking it down, because you usually will have four chances to pick up the 15.
Yeah, absolutely, especially if you are pretty dead set on it going four and fourth down.
Gibson to throw. He is looking deep. Fires. And was the catch made? I think so. Inside the 30. Cannot see who caught it, and they're still down. Might have gotten the wind knocked out of them because they fell right on the ball, but it was a great catch. And we apologize, we can't tell you who caught it at the moment, unless you were able to. Clock has stopped as they're tending to the injured Bulldog. He is able to get up. Was it JJ? Yes, it was J.J. Holloway. So he did get off under his own power. He's now laying down on the Heath sideline. I think it was the wind knocked out of him. Let's hope so. And looks like the official wants to start the clock. Now they're looking at each other. Now they're looking at the scoreboard and deciding what they want to do.
I think it's because Holloway's laying down the sideline.
He is up now, so that is a good thing. So I think it was, because he came hard back for the ball, and then, just to have that with the turf was a rough combination. By the way, that was a 11-yard pickup, so he's had back-to-back huge plays, totaling 28 yards for Heath on this second possession, driving down against Mount Vernon. Here's a handoff on the right side, and a good pickup for knocked out of bounds at the 25. We talked, and it was Tristan Jones once again for about 4 yards. Offensive line's doing a nice job early in this ballgame.
Absolutely. I mean, every time they've decided to run the ball, I mean, I think that's probably what the worst rush tonight, where it goes for 5 yards. So, I mean, if I was Heath, I would just continue to just keep, you know, handing the ball off until Mount Vernon stops it, pretty much similar to what Mount Vernon's strategy was on offense.
At the 24, second and 5 there for the Dogs. Jones in the backfield with Gibson. Fake handoff. Gibson rolls to the left. He's got a little bit of pressure, needs to get rid of it, and he does. And that was close to an interception as Darren Monahan was reading Gibson's eyes there and went for the pick. It does fall incomplete, but that ball hung up a little bit.
Yeah, that one, you probably just want to throw that away. Here, Gibson, that time. Try to make a play happen, but he just, you know, on his back foot, on the run, not able to put enough oomph into that ball. And, yeah, did hang up in the defensive back for the Yellow Jackets. Almost jumped in front of it.
Third and 5 for Mount Vernon's 24 for Heath. Up 8-7. Minute 23 left, first quarter. Gibson, handoff, and hit in the backfield and losing a couple of yards was Jones. Coming in and making the play for Mount Vernon from the linebacker spot was Carter Hill. And now you've got 4th down and 8, but you're at the 28 of Heath. I think that's too long for a field goal.
Right.
And way too short for a punt, so you might as well put it up in the air and see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. Just go for it here, see what happens. You got, I mean, yeah, worst case, Mount Vernon takes over at their own 27.
4th and 8 from there, 44 seconds remain, first quarter, 8-7, Heath leads it. Gibson, low snap, but he's able to handle it. Rolls to his left again, looking, firing, and a near one-handed catch, but it does fall incomplete, and the Jackets will take over on down. So a very promising drive for Heath. Does end up turnover on downs at Mount Vernon's 27-yard line, and once again, a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah, penalties have been killing the drives. Killed both of the drives for Heath and Mount Vernon there on their second possession.
Looks like Holloway is going to be okay, so that's good news for Heath. So Mount Vernon gets it for the third time in this third quarter. They had a touchdown on their opening possession, then they went 3 and out. See what happens on the third go-around. Richards will keep it, and you know better than I do. That's J.J. Holloway on the stop, but if they move to just a spy completely on Richards?
Yeah.
Because he had an opening there, and then Holloway just burst through and made the tackle after a 1-yard pickup.
Yeah,
it looked like he was watching him the whole way.
That's what you have to do defensively right now for Heath is, you know, you designate a linebacker. His job's a quarterback. His job is Richards. It's really just up to how disciplined he is, you know, knowing when to pull back, knowing when to, you know, completely sell out and go for him.
First quarter in the books. Heath leads it 8-7 on the high school football game of the week on K98.7.
Does your family have your carpet a mess? It's time for a flooring makeover. Hello, I'm Charlie from Church Street Floor Coverings, and we're here to help find you the most family-friendly, durable floor coverings available. You can trust us with all of your floor covering needs. Stop in and check out the many products we have to offer. A free estimate will allow you to see how competitive we are. We're located across from Licking County Family YMCA. And be sure to tell them Charlie sent you.
This is Chris from KSF's Auto Body. Collision repair as an industry and car accidents in general have changed things. Time frames are longer than they used to be. There's no doubt about that. But just rest assured that KSF's has taken training in moving vehicles through the process as safely and as quickly as possible. So even though it may feel like it's taking a while, KSF's is always working on your car and we're always moving the process forward the best way that we can. KSF's Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSF's, quality you can trust.
This is the high school football game of the week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating and Lincoln Memorial Health Systems on Kate 98.7.
We start the second quarter from Heath High School, 2nd down and 9 for Mount Vernon, with the Bulldogs leading the Yellow Jackets 8-7. Richards will hand it off on an end around and getting a first down and more for the Jackets. That is Damon Wolf, a junior, so had a few different ball carriers so far tonight. Wolf does, though, pick up 10 yards, first and 10.
Yeah, and that's usually, you know, the receiver they bring in motion when Racer would previously just pull it and keep it himself. That time he did give it off to Wolf. He was able to pick up a nice pickup there. So that's just something that trying to, you know, keep, I think, this Heath Bulldogs defense on their toes, not keeping the running game as simple as just a Richards keeper every single time.
First and 10, Mount Vernon at their 39. And inside handoff to Hubbard, and he is met right at the line of scrimmage. And a nice one-on-one tackle there by Carter Mason.
Yeah, and that's a good job by Heath winning on first down that time. That's, I think, going to be the key to a lot of these drives from Mount Vernon. They're going to test that Heath, you know, defensive line in that second level, see how many yards they can pick up on first down just by running the football. That time, maybe just half a yard.
Second down and 10 inside the 40 for Richards and the Mount Vernon offense. And he will keep it, a straight keeper. And again, a good push by the line will get him close to the first down, but about 2 yards shy, and a third down and 2 coming up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the Yellow Jackets decide to do here. I mean, so far, just watching them, I would think they're going to do a Richards keep, but that's what they did on their previous third down. They fell short of that, so I don't think just not picking up one third down conversion is going to discourage that play call, though.
Third and 2 for the Jackets at their 47. They need to get to their 49. Richards oversees it. He will keep it and will get just enough for the first down and then spin away a little second effort. We'll actually get him into Bulldog territory at the 49, so 4 yards.
Yeah, that time just kind of what we were expecting there. It's a Richards keep, except that time offensive line won the battle there, and Richards able to dive forward for the first down.
First and 10 there. Richards. Here's a handoff to Hubbard, and the freshman gets about a yard to the Heath 48, second and 9. So they've had him second and long a lot here, but then Richards makes a play.
Yeah, it seems like, especially this drive, Heath wins first down. Mount Vernon's being able to win second down, right? And then making it, you know, third and short, it puts a lot of pressure on your defense knowing how well Mount Vernon is running the football. So it's big here for Heath to make this a, you know, force a third and 6, third and 7 here if possible. Make it a passing situation here for Yellow Jackets.
Second down and 9. And it will be a wide receiver screen and getting a nice block and going down the sidelines enough for the first down is Wolf once again. He had an end around, and this time he gets the wide receiver screen, and it's a first down.
Yeah, nice little wrinkle in there, going with the wide receiver screen. I think even just doing something as simple as that, just simply putting the ball through the air, it's kind of throwing off that whole Bulldogs defense, especially with how much we have seen Richards run on this drive.
9 minutes remain, second quarter, 8-7. Heath leads it, but Mount Vernon on the move at the Bulldog 39. Richards will keep it on the right side. And a wonderful tackle. Is that Holloway again? I don't think so. Nope. Let's see who that is. Because that was a wonderful tackle by Tim Beach. Because if he doesn't get him, Richards is running.
Yeah. But that's, I think, what's really going to be important, too, for Heath just going forward is getting Richards, you know, when your defender, one-on-one tackling situations for Heath defensively is being able to bring down Richards.
8.5 before the break. Second down and 10. So here it is. Second and long once again. Richards in the spread by himself in the backfield. Now he does have Brennan coming in motion. Fake end around. He's looking over the middle. A man's open, but too far. Oh, and they're going to call a pass interference against Heath. Garrett, I would love your thought on that one.
I probably would have kept the flag in my pocket there. I mean, there was contact, but the contact came after the ball was, like, catchable, really. Like, once the ball was basically on its way over the heads of the defender and the receiver. That's when the contact was made. I think they're going to talk about it.
They are, because it was not catchable by the time
you
talked about it with the contact.
If the contact happened, you know, a second before, then sure.
Let's see. I think they're picking it up. Now, they're going to talk to Coach Ward, but they have not moved the ball. I've not seen anyone discuss it. I think they have ruled it off, which is the right... Oh, nope. I spoke too soon. Boy, they took their sweet time on that. So they talked to Coach Ward about it. Everybody was going back to the original line of scrimmage, and then they decided they were going to call the pass interference. That is a tough, tough call. Down to the 24-yard line.
I mean, yeah, you got first and 10 now, the 24, instead of third and 11.
Boy. No question there was contact, but that ball was not going to be caught. Richard, first and 10 at the Heath 24. He will keep it whole up the middle, and Richards will take it into the end zone. 24 yards out, the Mount Vernon side celebrates, and the Jackets go back on top, 14-8.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you see this a lot, you know. Big penalty, may not agree with on the defensive side of the ball. The offense immediately, I mean, it's kind of a letdown defensively, right? Especially, you know, they would have been third and long, as the offense immediately takes advantage of the very next play.
And I was a little bit ahead of myself. It's 13-8, pending the extra point, which is up, and it was good. 8:07, second quarter. Mount Vernon back on top, 14-8 on the high school football game of the week on Kate 98.7.
Football, flannels, and falling prices. Been waiting to upgrade your garage door? Get the deal of the year with Central Ohio Garage Door and the Clopay Fall Rebate Event for unbeatable savings now through October 31st. Up to $1,000 rebates on qualifying Clopay purchases. These are major discounts for a limited time only. Invest in your home's value and curb appeal. Call Central Ohio Garage Door, 20 Anthony Drive, Newark, off Mount Vernon Road, and online at centralohiogaragedoor.com.
This is Dr. Rhonda Steigerwald from McMillan Dental. Do you want a brighter, whiter smile? At McMillan Dental, we make it simple. Our professional teeth whitening systems are safe, fast, and deliver results. Whether you're prepping for a big event or you just want to feel more confident, we've got you covered. Schedule your whitening today at 740-344-1171 or visit us at mcmillandental.com and start smiling brighter tomorrow.
Listening to the high school football game of the week, brought to you by Kasep's Auto Body and Service Center and Trillium Farms, here on Kate 98.7.
Well, two out of three drives for Mount Vernon has started at the 27-yard line, and both of those have led to touchdowns of 73-yard drives. This last one, a 24-yard touchdown run by quarterback Mason Richards. So he has ran for a score and thrown for a score. Extra point good, 14-8. Heath trails it. 8:05 remains in the second quarter, and a good angling kick, and the Bulldogs fielded it, but then went out of bounds, so they will start at the 21-yard line.
And if I was Heath, I'd go right back on the ground. I mean, you've had great success running the football. I would see what Mount Vernon has.
Hand off up the middle, and on this play, not much there. Tristan Jones might have been able to squeak through for a yard. Next Friday night, Garrett's just going to spend the week here because we're back here at Swank Field, opener of the LCL Cardinal with these Bulldogs and the Johnstown Johnnies, defending LCL champs. We'll have it for you right here on Kate 98.7, pregame 6:45, and kickoff just after 7. They're going to say no gain, so second and 10 at the 21 for Heath. Trips go to the far side on this second and 10. Gibson, low snap, quick throw, little wide receiver screen. We've got a flag on the play, which in the middle of the field usually goes against the offense. And that's going to be the case
holding here.
Yep. So a PI call on the last possession by Mount Vernon led to a score, and now you are going to be pinned back deep in your own territory on second and long.
Yeah, holding. I mean, we've seen it time and time again, not just this season, but, you know, over the several seasons we've done this. Holding is a great way to just kill your drive before it even begins. And, yeah, now he, you know, second and 20.
From their 11-yard line, 7 minutes to play, second quarter. Mount Vernon up 14-8. Gibson, here's the handoff. And again, not much running room that time on the left side for Jones. Maybe a couple of yards, but it's third and long here. And if you've got a punt from here, Mount Vernon's going to have pretty good field position.
Yeah, I think more than anything for Heath, it's 17, third and 17. It's, I mean, very low chance you do pick this up unless it's something big through the air. You're able to force a penalty. So maybe that's what I will try to do is, you know, attack maybe some on one-on-one coverage, try to force a penalty, but at least try to pick up some yards because, like you just said, maybe make the punt a little bit easier.
Gibson to throw. He's got some pressure. Rolling to his right. Fires deep and in no man's land, which is actually good for Heath because the closest guys to catch that ball were two Mount Vernon defenders. It does fall to the turf harmlessly, incomplete, but the Bulldogs will be punting from their end zone.
Yeah, bit of a dangerous throw that time, but fortunately, yeah, I just got to kind of fall where nobody was at. But like you just said a few moments ago, Mount Vernon, I mean, pending a great punt here, Mount Vernon's going to be set up probably in Heath territory.
Holloway is back to punt it away for the Bulldogs. Low snap, and he will get it away. It will bounce into the arms of a Mount Vernon. It's Barham. He makes two-man miss. He's at the 40 and will be stopped there at the Bulldog 40 with 6:05 remaining second quarter, and it's 14-8 Mount Vernon, and they're probably smelling blood in the water at this point.
Absolutely. That was a nice little return there that time. Able to get it into Heath territory. You know, you got 6 minutes left. Perfect amount of time for this offense with how they like to operate. Believe the clock. I'm sure that's what they're going to be focusing on, right? Obviously, first and foremost, they want to score, but in the process of scoring, bleed the clock. Don't let Heath touch it, or don't let Heath touch it, you know, with much time to operate with before the half.
At the 41 of Heath, that's where Mount Vernon will start this drive. First and 10, leading 14-8. Richards, and he will keep it, looking to roll, 40, makes two guys miss, 35, and then is stopped up close to the first down marker. Might be about a yard short, but he's now starting to have a little bit more green in front of him.
Yeah, he's got, I think, too, just the offense is in rhythm, confidence being built throughout the game. That time he rolled out, he did have a receiver right out there, too, in the flat, and the defender was kind of caught in between them, right? Like, where do I go? And then, yeah, Richard just did kind of do a quick little fake, which opened up just enough space for him to get those extra yards.
Second and two from the Heath 33-yard line. Richards looked at his wristband. Now he's ready to go on second down and two. And he will look to throw, fires over the middle, and the catch is made for a first down inside the 25. And it's there.
Yeah. Well, to me, I mean, that's really the perfect time to throw and play action as well, because everyone here is kind of too. I mean, you're just kind of do get lulled to sleep by this offense, right? Just run. And then, too, you're like, well, no reason to pass. They want to bleed the clock and stuff. Play action, yeah, and the receivers are wide open.
First and 10 at the Dodge 23. Mount Vernon on the move just outside the red zone. And Hubbard will keep it. He's got a big hole, stays on his feet, gets inside the 10-yard line, and that freshman looking good. It's going to be first and goal Jackets.
Yeah, it just seems like Mount Vernon has more confidence right now, I feel like, than Heath. I mean, they just seem to be playing in rhythm. They seem to be executing well. And Heath, it seems like, too, I mean, I don't put too much emphasis on that pass interference, but since then, It did kind of shift the momentum, I feel like, of this football game.
First and goal for Mount Vernon at the Bulldogs' 8-yard line, up 14-8. Richards will keep it. Richards will get hit hard, and the ball's on the ground. Let's see who got it. I think Mount Vernon recovered it. Richards was smacked hard at the 3, and the ball bounced backwards, but it looks like the Jackets got it. Wow, that could have been huge.
Yeah. Well, Richards almost pulling a Cade Klubnik right there, so you got to be careful, especially when you are in a goal-to-go situation. You just got to emphasize that ball security, too, with this situation. I mean, worst-case scenario, could at least put 3 more points on the board. But, yeah, it's second and goal, 5 yards to go. Yeah, no reason to rush. Bleed the clock. See if you can get at least 6 more points on the board.
Second and goal from the 5, and now we've got a penalty. And I think it's against Mount Vernon, and it is delay of game, so that'll move it back to the 10. Yeah, but Richards lives up to the hype.
Yeah. Yes.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. Back to the 10, so it's second and goal there for Mount Vernon. As we have 4 minutes remaining, second quarter. Jackets up 14-8. Mount Vernon taking their time. Down to 8 seconds on the play clock. They now just go to the line of scrimmage. Down to 3. And do they get it off? They do with 1 second. And it's a handoff and getting very close to the end zone. Landon Dawson, another youngster. He's just a sophomore. This team's program's going to be good for a little bit, folks. Third and goal from the 1. Richards comes up to the line quickly. And who moved first? I thought the far side judge said offsides against Heath, but now they're going to get together and talk and see who might have jumped first. And this could be a big penalty right here if it's against Mount Vernon.
Yeah, if it is against Mount Vernon, that'd be 2 times. They're pretty much within the 5-yard line that they got backed up 5. We'll see what it is, though. But
now we've got 4 of them conversing. Who saw what, and when did they see it?
Well, I would have thought, right, the fish that threw the flag would be the ones to see it.
You would think. And they do say offsides against Heath. So half the distance, basically from the 1-yard line to the half-yard line. It remains third and goal there. Richard comes up under center, expecting a quarterback keep here. And before that, how about offsides Mount Vernon? Back and forth we go. So it ends up being a third and goal from just outside the 5 now. I don't know that it changes your play call because it's 2-down territory.
Well,
here.
Maybe not quarterback sneak, but I would expect, I mean, here's the thing too, I wouldn't hate a pass here because you feel like Heath wouldn't be expecting it.
Full house backfield. He's under center. Richard is on third and goal. Good pressure in there by the Dogs, and they do a great job. A 2-yard loss, making it fourth and goal from the 7. Great penetration that time by Heath.
Yeah, I mean, that play was doomed from the start. I mean, Heath did a great job off the snap, that defensive line, that second level, of just getting that penetration immediately. I mean, as Richard was turning his head, you saw the defenders ready to come and hit him.
So, fourth and goal from the 7. 2:20 remains before the break.
They're going to call timeout.
I think so. Mount Vernon up 14-8. They will come to the line and look to go for it. Down to 5, and they will call timeout. Welcome back, 14-8. Mount Vernon, you're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Lucart Heating and Cooling has the experience, knowledge, professionalism, and quality service you'd expect from a Lennox Premier dealer. This earned distinction means you'll receive outstanding installation, maintenance, and service on your home's heating and cooling system. Call Lucart Heating and Cooling at 740-344-5497 and ask about rebates, or visit LucartHeating.com to learn more about how we can make your home's comfort perfect. Ohio License 38151.
Trillium Farms, one of the leading egg producers in the country, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, we want you on our team. We're hiring maintenance technicians with industrial or agriculture backgrounds. Pay is $22.50 to $30 an hour based on experience with a very competitive benefits package. View our current job openings or apply online at versova.com. VERSOVA.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on K98.7.
After the timeout by Mount Vernon, fourth and goal for the Jackets at the 7-yard line. 2:07 remains. Mount Vernon leads at 14-8, and they are getting an extended break on this. I'm not sure what the officials are waiting to blow the whistle and say, let's go. The Bulldogs defense has been out there, and now Mount Vernon, because even the play clock should get started here. And it's just now. So they will come up to the line looking to go for it from the 7. Fourth and goal there. Trips to the near side. Richards by himself. And now the slot man will join him in the backfield on this fourth and goal. He gets the snap. He is looking to throw. Fires in the end zone. Did he catch it? He did. For a touchdown. The Heath folks can't believe it. It was bang, bang on the left side in the end zone. But they're going to say a touchdown to Wolf. And that makes it 20-8. That was close. That was close.
I mean, I think the only question is if he maintained possession.
Yes.
We couldn't get a good look at it. I think, you know, he did get his foot in there. I mean, that was a solid throw, good catch. I think, yeah, they're just, I mean, they call it a touchdown. We can't see the possession, if he had possession. But if he did, yeah, that's a good pitch and catch, though, from Richards to Wolf. And they've been kind of the 1-2 combo for this Yellow Jacket offense.
So each time you think Heath might be able to get a momentum switcher, the Jackets come up with something. 24-yard touchdown run after a PI, and their fourth and goal from the 7. Who'd have thunk it? Two touchdown passes by a team that does not throw the ball, and they're up 21-8. So you've got 2:02 left for Heath, three timeouts. You do get the ball to start the second half, but boy, it would be nice to get something on the board here before the break.
Yeah, I mean, this is a classic two-minute drill here. You got all three timeouts. See what happens here on the kickoff. It'd be nice to be, you know, get set up with some solid field position here from the kickoff. If it looks like it's going out of bounds, so let it go out of bounds.
Let it go out of bounds.
Right, yeah, you get those 10 extra yards. So I think, you know, depending on what happens here on this kickoff, we'll definitely see if this drive can get kick-started or not.
Well, I guess we both missed it because there must have been a personal foul against Heath on the extra point because Mount Vernon's going to kick this off from the Bulldogs 45. I didn't see it. I didn't hear anything. But that's where they're kicking it off. So unless they try something crazy here, you'd think they'd boom it into the end zone. They've done a couple of pooch kicks so far that have worked to their advantage. And again, now kicking on the other side of midfield. Let's see what they do. Here we go. And, yep, into the end zone for a touchback. So you'll start at the 20, 80 yards to pay dirt for Heath. Now trailing 21-8.
Well, I mean, depending on what Heath does, how much they do open it up here with Gibson, I mean, I feel like this is a really good opportunity for Heath to, and specifically Gibson, to just get some confidence going forward, not even just for the rest of this game, but for the rest of the season. I mean, if you're able to put together a solid two-minute drill, put the ball into the end zone, that just, I feel like, just going to completely jumpstart and give your offense a ton of confidence.
They come out first and 10 at the 20. Coach Ward talking to the official, I think, still about that questionable touchdown catch. But, yep, you've just got to move on now at this point and see if your offense can do something here before the break. Gibson, and it's an inside handoff. And while that worked to start the ball game, that's pretty much been shut down by the Mount Vernon defense since that time.
Right. It seemed like the longer the game's been going on, to worse, Heath's been able to run the football. Just been kind of on a steady decline there. And to credit to the O Jackets, I think defense and defensive line, I mean, they've adjusted. And I think, too, maybe that opening, you know, carry for a touchdown against them probably woke them up a little bit.
No sense of urgency right now by the Dogs as we're down to a minute 20, and it's second and eight from the 22. And we're going to have probably motion against Heath, and we are, so it's going to move it back. Now, you've got to be careful here because Mount Vernon's got two timeouts left.
Right.
Minute 19 remains.
I mean, yeah, I would say you're going to be down to under a minute here. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Ball is at the 17-yard line, second down and 13. And here's the handoff. And, ooh, strong hit. Do they they're going to say knocked out of bounds, Tristan Jones to the 23. So that stops the clock. Mount Vernon doesn't have to use a timeout, and we're at 55 seconds, and you're looking at third down and about six.
I mean, there's no... I would just throw it. I mean, to me, there's no downside. There's no upside of running it. The likelihood you pick up the first down is slim, and you know Mount Vernon will probably just burn the timeout, so I would throw.
Gibson will throw, and it's a wide receiver screen that Mount Vernon snuffs out, and they will be able to stop the clock. And I think they did use a timeout, and they did with 48 ticks remaining. Or we got a flag. Goodness gracious. Now, see, I would think Mount Vernon would, yep, they are going to decline it. Now, the clock would still start, so they would have to use a timeout if they wanted to. It's going to be fourth down and four. So a lot going on here. So the penalty is declined, fourth and four. And if they let the clock run, Heath would still have to punt the football with about 20 seconds left, but he will call a timeout, which does make sense. So this is a huge punt here for Heath, trailing 21-8 with 48 seconds to go before halftime. You just want to get it out of there, and then hopefully your defense can stop them before the break.
Yeah, I think what's going to determine if Mount Vernon's going to go out there and attempt to really score is the field position off this punt. If you're able to get it, you know, around the 50-yard line, you're probably going to see Mount Vernon execute out there taking real shots. But, you know, if your special team does a great job and, you know, they're at the 20, 30-ish yard line, I'd probably just see Mount Vernon maybe just run it a few times into the locker room.
Fourth and four for Heath as we get ready to get back to live action here after the timeout. Holloway will be back in punt formation for Heath, standing at his 15-yard line. Doesn't look like they're set to put pressure on him. Maybe looking to set up a return. And now we're set. Holloway's ready. Snap is good. Takes his time. Gets it away. Pretty good kick. It'll bounce at the 44, then take a Mount Vernon, then back to a Heath bounce. It went towards midfield, then decided to change direction, and the Dogs will down it at about the 41-yard line with 32 seconds to go. And it'll be first and 10 there for Mount Vernon. Scoreboard still says them with two timeouts, but I think it is now down to one.
Yeah. I would expect Mount Vernon to see what happens here, at least on first down. Take a reasonable shot here at it. See what happens on first down. If they want to, you know, if they're able to pick up the first down, they'll keep running. If not, probably just hand it off or kneel it down.
Well, you've got trips to the near side, two wideouts to the far side, and let's see. Officials, I think, are looking to set the clock to 34 seconds. Yep. All right, 34 seconds. First and 10, Mount Vernon. at their 42, up 21-8, trying to get something else before halftime. Can Heath stop them? Looking to bring a little bit of pressure. Here they come. And he is looking to throw, and the catch not made, and then almost intercepted. That ball hung up there for a bit, and the Bulldogs were there. And it'll be second down and 10 now with 28 seconds to go. Looks like that was Jordan Mobile on that play. So second down and 10 at the 42.
Well, on that note, I'd say you just hand it off and go locker room or take a kneel down and go locker room. You're up 21-8. Heath does get the ball to start the second half, but Mount Vernon certainly in the driver's seat. No need to, you know, throw an interception, shift momentum in any form here.
And it'll be a handoff to Hubbard. He's got daylight into Heath territory, 50, 45, down to about the 40, maybe just outside the 40-yard line. Clock will stop with 21 seconds to go. And up they're going to mark it at the 40.
Yeah, I think he got out of bounds.
Yeah. So they can keep that timeout in their back pocket, mark it at the Heath 39. That might change a couple things here. As that was a solid pickup of over 20. First and 10. Richards, he will throw. Fires over the middle. He's got a man open, and the catch is made at about the 10-yard line with 14 seconds left.
Yeah, this is probably where you burned that last time out, I'd say. And it looks like, yeah, they are.
Yep. Let's pause for station identification. This is the high school football game of the week on Kate 98.7.
This is the high school football game of the week on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, K98.7.
Back here at Swank Field, Brian Mays, Garrett Wandle. It's 14 seconds to go before the break. Mount Vernon up 21-8. They just used their last timeout after a 20-yard pickup down to the 9-yard line of Heath. And you've got time for, I'd say, at least two plays here if you get out of bounds or do what you need to do. So I think they'll try a couple shots here to the end zone and expand this lead. First and goal at the 9. Richards, who has two touchdown passes tonight along with a touchdown run. What else can he add to the arsenal before halftime? He's in the gun. He is looking to throw. Now he's going to step up. Fires in the back of the end zone. Incomplete. And down to 9 seconds, so it'll be second and goal then.
Yeah, and I think you probably take one more shot here.
I think so.
And then
are they going to go for the or field goal here?
Well, they might. I mean, I was going to say you probably have time for at least one more shot. I mean, you could just maybe if you're afraid of taking a sack or, you know, heading to the locker room. With nothing to show for it.
Jackson Height will attempt the field goal of 25 yards. Snap down, kick on the way, line drive. Got it. So they drive down the field from their 41 and get a field goal, and that makes it 25-8 with 6 seconds to go before halftime. So a running team got one run to start off, which was a huge run getting into Heat territory, but then a big pass play set it up. Heath was able to stop him on first down, and they decide to kick it on second and goal, and now expand their lead to 24-8.
Yeah, well, that running play that got him into Heath territory, that's what kind of opened it up, and that's what really, I guess, gave him the hope to be like, all right, well, let's try to get some points. We can get some points here. And, yeah, I mean, that's just credit to Mount Vernon. I mean, well, they got a field goal up in what? 29 seconds there, 28 seconds. So maybe could have had the time for another shot there, but hey, you got the field goal. You don't want to risk it. I won't argue with that.
It worked. 6 seconds to go. They'll now kick off from the 40. I expect this to be a line drive, which it is. But before it did, I think Heath called a timeout. Yep, just to be ready. So it'll stay at 6 seconds. So Mount Vernon, again, people weren't sure what they were all going to be about. Came in after a 2-8 mark last year, but lost by just 7 in their opening game to Marion Harding, then went on the road to Whitefield and beat Newark convincingly 24-7. Had a huge lead at Delaware, but fell by just 7, 41-34, and then they get the win at home over Johnstown last week, beating the Johnnies by 1 in overtime. So they've been in some close contests, but this definitely is a much better football team than what we've seen the last several years. Coach Weber coming in had a team that was 3-17 in the three seasons before he took over. So he is making tremendous strides, and they look pretty good here tonight against Heath, up 24-8. Again, a line drive kick that will bounce and be fielded at the 20. Heath bringing it up across the 30 to the 35 and to the 37, where the first half will come to an end. Bulldogs led it 8-7 after one quarter, but Mount Vernon was the only team to score in quarter number two, and they've extended their lead now to 24-8 at halftime. We'll come back and recap the first half after this timeout as you're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Configuring the Bluetooth, deciding who controls the music, remembering where you parked. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your vehicle doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like remembering if you're on the third or fourth level of the parking garage. That's simple human sense.
Visit Hummel's Newark office right off the downtown square or online at hummelgrp.com.
This is Chris from KSEP's Auto Body. Collision repair as an industry and car accidents in general have changed things. Time frames are longer than they used to be. There's no doubt about that. But just rest assured that KSEP's has taken training in moving vehicles through the process as safely and as quickly as possible. So even though it may feel like it's taking a while, KSEP's is always working on your car, and we're always moving the process forward the best way that we can. KSEP's Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSEP's, quality you can trust.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating and Lickey Memorial Health Systems on Kate 98.7.
Back here at halftime at Swank Field, Mount Vernon leads Heath 24-8. As Mount Vernon got the ball to start this ballgame, they went on a 10-play, 73-yard drive, capped off by a 31-yard touchdown pass, which kind of surprised everybody for a running team, but it worked. Extra point was good, and it was 7-0. Heath came right back, and when we mean right back, how about the first play on offense? Tristan Jones, 57 yards to the house. After a penalty, the Bulldogs decided to go for two. Gibson kept it, took it in, and it was 8-7. Heath led it after one quarter. We move to the second quarter. The Bulldogs were driving with a chance to expand the lead, but had a turnover on downs. Mount Vernon got the ball back, got a huge pass interference call, which set them up for a 24-yard touchdown run by their outstanding quarterback, Mason Richards. Extra point was good. That made the score 14-8. Heath then was not able to move the ball on offense, and just before halftime, a couple of more opportunities for the Mount Vernon Yellow Jackets, including a fourth and goal from the 7, another touchdown pass by Richard, and then a field goal right before the great break. 24-8. When they've stopped shooting themselves in the foot with penalties, they've been pretty efficient on offense, running and throwing.
Yeah, the O Jackets have definitely impressed here tonight, and I think too it's how they've done it on offense, of through the air and through and on the ground. We were expecting, you know, I'm sure Heath was too, primarily rush dominant offense, which they have been here tonight. But also, you know, you mentioned the passing touchdown on the opening drive. They've also moved the chains, throwing the ball too, and as well as getting into field goal position right before half, able to put on an additional 3 points to their lead right before halftime by running and throwing the football. So, you know, Mount Vernon, I mean, they've been, I guess, kind of classified as a primary rushing attack team over the first 4 weeks of the season. Well, this week, for whatever reason, they're like, all right, let's let Richards open it up a little bit. Let's, you know, try to keep Heath on their toes, and it has certainly worked here tonight. And for Heath, I mean, I just feel like the penalties have come at really inopportune times. I mean, The one that sticks out is that pass interference. I feel like that pass interference really shifted the game. I mean, I hate to put so much emphasis just on one penalty and one play, but since that, really right after that penalty happened, that's when Richards was able to take it in and retake the lead for the Yellow Jackets, and then since then, it's just been all Yellow Jackets.
And I really think, though, had they been able to score on that second possession and maybe gone up 15-7, not saying Mount Vernon is going to change their game plan because it's working so well, but I think it would have given the Dogs a lot of momentum. And they've not played a bad football game. They've had second and long how many times against that Mount Vernon offense, but it just seems like when a play needs to be made, the Jackets are doing it.
Right, and it kind of, you know, just some similarities, you know, between this game and the game we did last week with Newark and Groveport. Keith and Newark both won on first down, it seemed like, on defense. Not to the extreme that Newark was doing last week, but Mount Vernon was able to respond, though, on their second down, able to, you know, pick up a good chunk of yards, either moving the chains or making it third and short. And, yeah, and this is the one time that Keith did win on second down. The third, it was because of a pass interference penalty. That's what was called, which negated that, and then they got the automatic first down. So I think, yeah, just for Heath, it's just putting together an entire defensive possession. You know, first down, second down, third down, and even fourth down, right? Because fourth down conversions, Mount Vernon 2-for-2 tonight.
Yeah.
Heath 0-for-1. So that's another thing that stands out to me.
And I would think, even though they have thrown the ball well in this first half, up by two scores now with two-point conversions, I see them staying on the ground a lot more in the second half, like we saw last week with Groveport. You're going to have to make them beat themselves, and I think there's not been a game we haven't said this, but what Heath does to start this third quarter is crucial to how Mount Vernon's going to play the rest of the night.
Absolutely. I mean, Heath, they're set up in a good situation, though, you know, because they do get the ball to start the second half. It'd be a lot worse if Mount Vernon got the ball to start the second half. So deferring really comes in big for the Bulldogs, but it's up to them, you know. They have the opportunity to get back in this game, get the momentum, get the home crowd back into it to start off this third quarter. Are they going to be able to execute it?
24-8, Mount Vernon leads the Heath Bulldogs. Our halftime now continues with Tonight in Ohio High School Football with Skip Mozick from the Ohio News Network.
Are you tired of shops playing guessing games with your vehicle and providing mystery quotes? Yeah, so are we. This is Dan Teakin. At Craiger Tire and Service, we don't sugarcoat it. We diagnose it, fix it, and then we back it with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Tires, of course, but we're way past tires. Brakes, AC, check engine lights. We handle the real problems. Real work, real people, real results. Craiger Tire and Service, we're no longer just tires.
Trillium Farms, one of the leading egg producers in the country, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, we want you on our team. We're hiring maintenance technicians with industrial or agriculture backgrounds. Pay is $22.50 to $30 an hour based on experience with a very competitive benefits package. View our current job openings or apply online at versova.com. VERSOVA.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
Tired of door knockers and nonstop calls from out-of-town roofing and siding companies? You don't need strangers climbing on your roof. You need the trusted local experts. Call Mike's Roofing, serving Lincoln County for 30 years, voted best of the best in roofing and siding 5 years in a row. Mike'sRoofing.net. We handle it all from storm damage assessments to working directly with your insurance. We know the process, and we'll get it done right. If it's broken, we can fix it. Let us take care of your home like our own. Mike'sRoofing.net, and that is Mike'sRoofing.net.
This is Chris from KSEP's Auto Body. Collision repair as an industry and car accidents in general have changed things. Time frames are longer than they used to be. There's no doubt about that. But just rest assured that KSEP's has taken training in moving vehicles through the process as safely and as quickly as possible. So even though it may feel like it's taking a while, KSEP's is always working on your car, and we're always moving the process forward the best way that we can. KSEP's Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSEP's, quality you can trust.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by KSEP's Auto Body and Service Center and Trillium Farms, here on K98.7.
From the Ohio News.
News Network. This is the Ohio Education Association Tonight in High School Football. Named best sports program in the country by the National Association of State Radio Networks. Tonight in High School Football is presented by Beck's Hybrids and by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Now here's your host, Skip Mossick.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Tonight in High School Football's Halftime Report. Ironton is the defending Division 5 state champion, and this evening we'll talk a little Southern Ohio football with Jason Filioff from our Ironton affiliate. Jason joins us next on the Ohio News Network.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Beck's, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Beck's honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, in every season.
Friday night, Under the Lights reminds us teamwork, dedication, and community start in our schools. I'm Ohio Education Association President Jeff Winson, and on behalf of the OEA's 120,000 members, we are proud to sponsor tonight's game and even prouder to support our public schools. Whether it's touchdowns or textbooks, success starts with a strong foundation. From the classroom to the end zone, we believe in every student's potential because in Ohio, public education matters.
Dutch's Convenience Stores, your one stop for food made fresh daily. The coldest drinks, freshly brewed coffee, and all the snacks you crave. Plus, join Crown Card Rewards and save 10 cents per gallon of gas. Then earn rewards every time you fuel up or shop at any Dutch's location. To join or learn more, visit any Dutch's location or mydutch's.com. Dutch's, your locally owned and operated hometown convenience store.
Tired of door knockers and nonstop calls from out-of-town roofing and siding companies? You don't need strangers climbing on your roof. You need the trusted local experts. Call Mike's Roofing, serving Lincoln County for 30 years, voted best of the best in roofing and siding 5 years in a row. Mike'sRoofing.net. We handle it all from storm damage assessments to working directly with your insurance. We know the process, and we'll get it done right. If it's broken, we can fix it. Let us take care of your home like our own. Mike'sRoofing.net. And that is Mike'sRoofing.net.
Now, back to high school football. Brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on K98.7.
This is Tonight in High School Football on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Skip Mossick.
We are presented by Beck's Hybrids at Beck's. They are and will remain farmers at heart. Said, welcome back, everyone. Halftime of your game. Talking a little Southern Ohio High School Football this evening with Jason Filioff from our Ironton affiliate. And Jason, some really good high school football played in your area of the state. Let's begin with the team that you primarily cover, the defending Division 5 state champion Ironton Tigers, off to another really good start this season, but I know a tough one tonight against another really good Southern Ohio team in Jackson.
Yeah, both teams are, it's always a hard-hitting game when these two get together. Ironton's off to the 4-0 start, as you said, and last week they handled Canisius out of New York rather handily, 55-21, another running clock there. There were a lot of question marks coming into the season for Ironton. They lost a lot of talented players, especially Sean Terry, who's at Missouri, Josh Johnson, who's at Penn State, and the quarterback Braden Schreck, who was a three-year starter. But they're playing well. They've got some big wins. They beat Liberty Christian out of Virginia, a two-time defending state champion in Division III there in Virginia, hammered them 42-3. There's still some games down the road. They've got their rival Portsmouth to close out the season, and next week is the big game against Wheelersburg, who's undefeated right now. Jackson lost to Wheelersburg 17-7 a week ago, but it's always great to see Ironton-Jackson get together, whether it's at Alumni Stadium in Jackson or the Tank in Ironton.
You mentioned Wheelersburg, Jason. They're 4-0. They're facing off with another 4-0 team from down in your area in Lucasville Valley tonight.
Yeah, Valley, surprise team at 4-0 this year. Wheelersburg is one of those teams that just gets better week by week. Rob Woodward always does that with his teams. We've always seen the Ironton-Wheelersburg game open up the football season. season, but that's been pushed back to week six this year. So they'll play next week, and you don't want to peek ahead, especially with the teams they are facing this week. You mentioned Ironton Jackson and Wheelersburg taking on 4-0 Valley. That's a conference game, so that's a huge game for them. But we're looking forward to next week. I'm looking forward to seeing how that one turns out tonight with Wheelersburg and Valley. I think Wheelersburg probably has the advantage, but Valley, again, surprising 4-0 this year, playing really well.
You know, others that are still unbeaten down in your area of the state, Jason, I mean, Notre Dame, Sims Valley, and Eastern all off to great starts.
Yeah, the Division 7, you got to love small school football, don't you, Skip? I mean, you're talking about these teams that just these teams just love getting together and playing some smash-mouth football. Although Sims Valley, number 3 in Region 27 right now, they throw the ball quite well. Their quarterback, Bronx Carpenter, threw for over 400 yards and 4 touchdowns against South Point Division 5 last week. They are in Region 27. Region 28, of course, with Marion Local, but you've got Notre Dame, who's ranked 2nd. They're undefeated. Eastern is ranked 3rd. They're undefeated. Eastern, of course, hasn't lost a regular season game since 2022. Eastern and Notre Dame play October 10th, so that's going to be a good one. Sims Valley plays Eastern October 3rd, and then Sims Valley plays Notre Dame at home October 17th. So those three are going to just battle it out to see who has supremacy in the SOC 1. Just three really good small school teams to keep an eye out.
Well, Jason, last thing. Somebody asked me about this a couple of weeks ago. Let everybody know about, you know, the annual triple header of early season games that is hosted down there at Tank Stadium with the Ironton Football Classic. I mean, it's become a pretty big deal.
Yeah, this started back in 2022, their first one. They pit it as Ohio versus the USA. So they bring in some of the best teams from the Buckeye State and pit them against teams from outside of the state. I mean, we've seen some tremendous teams over the year. We saw Martinsburg out of West Virginia, who won like 85 straight state championships. I'm exaggerating a bit, but they're really good. DeMatha out of Maryland has been here. Ironton played Buffalo St. Francis last year. And this year, I mean, you had tremendous games with Mount Carmel out of Chicago playing Moeller out of Cincinnati. And Mount Carmel wins that game on a two-point conversion with no time on the clock. And you had so many Division I players on the field at that time. The second game was Watterson out of Columbus beating Middletown, Delaware, 14-13, another tremendous game. And then Ironton, of course, played Liberty Christian out of Virginia. It's always a tremendous day of football. They start at 1. They go at 1 at 4:30 and 8 o'clock. And they sell one ticket if you want to watch all three games. And it's just a tremendous gathering. If you love high school football and you love seeing talent like you won't see anywhere else, this is the place to be. So it's usually early in the season, around week 2 at Tanks Memorial Stadium. So go ahead and circle the calendar, Skip, for next year in 2026 and come on down and check that one out.
Jason Filioff from our Ironton affiliate. Jason, thanks for hopping on. You know we love talking Southern Ohio high school football with you, okay?
Happy to do it, Skip.
And we'll be back on the Ohio News Network.
Bex recognizes this week's player with heart, Christopher Kinsey from Cardington Lincoln High School, for his commitment and passion on the field and within the farming community.
I mean, I've been playing with these kids since I was in fifth grade, so you kind of build like a brotherhood and like the camaraderie that you have, not just about the game, just like kind of life itself, you know, responsibility, knowing where to be. Resilience is a big one too. I feel like I've gained from it.
Lessons in football, lessons in FFA.
You know, the things I learned, and I knew that I wanted to have, like, hopefully maybe an ag background in my life. You know, I've showed livestock since I was, you know, very young, and so it was just kind of a given.
And, of course, the importance of agriculture.
There's family generation farms that, you know, that's their whole life, you know, and agriculture, I mean, that's the stuff that brings your community around. Yeah, I think it's just the most important thing ever. I mean, people underestimate it.
At Bex, we are and will remain farmers at heart.
Your college experience should be built just for you, supporting everything you value most. That's why Ohio University delivers the high-quality education we're known for right here on our Zanesville campus. Whether you're a full-time student or working full-time, Ohio's affordable, flexible degrees are always in demand in our community and can take you anywhere. Earn a degree in your own backyard on your own terms and move your career and your community forever forward. Learn more at ohio.edu/Zanesville.
This is Chris from KSEP's Auto Body. Collision repair as an industry and car accidents in general have changed things. Time frames are longer than they used to be. There's no doubt about that. But just rest assured that KSEP's has taken training in moving vehicles through the process as safely and as quickly as possible. So even though it may feel like it's taking a while, KSEP's is always working on your car and we're always moving the process forward the best way that we can. KSEP's Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at KSEP's. ka-seps.com.
K-Seps, quality you can trust.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating and Linky Memorial Health Systems on KATE 98.7.
This is ONN.
All right, thanks again to Jason Filioff from our Ironton affiliate for talking some Southern Ohio high school football with us this evening. Enjoy the second half of your ball game. I'm Skip Mossick on the Ohio News Network.
This has been the Ohio Education Association Tonight in High School Football, presented by Bex Hybrids and by Ohio for Responsible Gambling from the Ohio News Network.
Just like our local teams dominate the field, Win Waste Innovations dominates waste removal. They tackle your toughest disposal challenges with championship-level service for homes and businesses, from residential pickup to commercial solutions. They're the all-pro team you can trust. Score big with reliable local service that keeps our community clean. Visit win-waste.com or call 866-WIN-WASTE. And good luck to all our area teams this season. Go get that win!
At the Energy Cooperative, our propane members enjoy clean fuel, competitive rates, and a dependable supply all from a trusted local provider. Whether you need metered service or bulk delivery for your home, business, or farm, we've got you covered. Right now, take advantage of introductory rates as low as $1.69 per gallon. Visit myenergycoop.com/propane or call us at 740-344-2102 to learn more. The Energy Cooperative, safe, reliable, trusted, local.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by K-Seps Auto Body and Service Center and Trillium Farms, here on KATE 98.7.
Getting ready to start the third quarter here from Swank Field. Heath trails Mount Vernon 24-8. The other crossover games in the LCL Buckeye versus LCL Cardinal. Licking Valley has a 28-6 lead over Newark Catholic in the second half. Northridge up on Zanesville 14-7. Granville looking to back on the winning track. They now lead Utica in the second half 21-0. It's also Licking Heights trying to get their first win on the season, leading Lakewood 26-0, and a good one between Watkins Memorial and Johnstown. That one is tied 21-all in the second half. Late play starts next week for everybody. All those scores and more tonight on the High School Football Scoreboard Show. Mark and Lee Waller, all the scores for you from around the area, beginning at 9 on our sister station T100. High School Football Scoreboard Show tonight at 9 on T100. Well, I think we got some first half stats. Anything really come out and bite you, Garrett?
Well, right now, first downs is one for you. Mount Vernon has 14, Heath has 4. And, of course, total yards. Mount Vernon has 250 total yards, Heath at 119. And of those 250 total yards, 102 of them have been through the air for Mount Vernon.
Again, last week, 391 yards rushing, 308 by the quarterback, and over 100 yards passing tonight. That will mess with a defensive coordinator every time. But now Heath gets the ball to start this second half, and I think it's imperative for them to be able, like you said, 4 first downs. I think all were probably on that second drive. I don't know that they would have picked one.
The majority of them, yeah. I mean, you just need to figure out a way to at least stay on the field as an offense, right? That's the thing you got to figure out first. And then when you're able to stay on the field long enough, you know, good things happen. You're able to score the ball. So, yeah, four first downs is not going to cut it. For the Bulldogs, yeah, being outscored 17-0 that second quarter. They only have 37 passing yards, Heath does. So that is going to have to change, too, if they want to get back into this game. But they can continue. I think they can continue to have a balanced attack. But you got to score on this opening drive, though, I feel like, in this third quarter to at least put some pressure on Mount Vernon so that, you know, they are in total cruise control. They aren't just, you know, just running out this clock, which they're very good at. Mount Vernon, whenever they touch the ball, you got to try to get them off the field as soon as possible, too. That's another big thing for Heath, because they're going to drain that play clock all the way down. We saw that opening drive took over 6 minutes off the clock, and if Mount Vernon has one of those possessions, you know, in the second half, when they're up by 2 scores, that could very well end the game.
Bulldogs will go left to right to start this third quarter, trailing by 16. And you mentioned the small amount of passing yards. It's been a lot of east-west throws with the wide receiver screens. I think you got to attack north-south at this point, down by two scores. But we'll see what the Dogs are able to do behind the eight ball to start this third quarter at 24-8. Jackson Height, who kicked the field goal right before halftime, will tow it up for the Jackets, and he kicks it from the 40. Again, a line drive kick that will be on the ground, and then the Bulldogs will be able to fall on it at about the 32. So first and 10 there for Heath. Braden Gibson, the senior, comes out. And Heath will see what they can do. They had the opening drive for them in that first half with a 57-yard touchdown run, and again, were able to move the ball into fairly deep Mount Vernon territory on that second possession, but then a penalty and then a turnover on downs. Not much has happened since then. They'll officially put it at the Heath 31-yard line, first and 10 there. And the Bulldogs come out ready to go. No need to panic yet. Two-score game, but you need to show something on this first drive. And here's an end around, and I mean not going anywhere, tackled right at the line of scrimmage. And we got official stop play. Cam Stevens got it, and he probably wishes he didn't because he was hit pretty hard and tackled. He's going to look to stay in, but he definitely got his bell run. Nope, they're going to take him out, bring in Stevens.
Yeah, this is a great tackle by Mount Vernon. And I feel like, too, I said this towards the end of that second quarter, I feel like this Mount Vernon defense, the longer, it's typically the opposite, but the longer they're on the field and the longer this game goes on, the better they are at stopping the running attack.
Yeah. Second down and 9. Gibson rolls out, looking to throw, fires deep, and that pass is off the hands, incomplete. He was looking for Quentin Sunkel there. Incomplete pass, and it's quickly 3rd and 9. And that's a low percentage throw right there. You're really now struggling to find anything at this point.
Yeah, I mean that's it's a high risk, high reward type of play, but like you said, it's low probability. You hit it, great, you got a huge play, you're into Yellow Jacket territory, but if you don't, it's going to be 3rd and long. And I mean 90% of the time it's probably going to be 3rd and long. So Bulldogs down in a difficult spot.
3rd and 9 from their 32. Gibson faces a little pressure. He's going to roll out. There's a flag on the play, and the pass goes incomplete at the 40. And I think this is going to be an illegal shift against the Bulldogs, so Mount Vernon will decline it, and Heath will have to punt a 3-and-out. The last thing you wanted to have happen to start the second half.
Yeah, and it's been very tough sledding for third downs in this game for Heath. They have yet to convert one, 0-for-4 here tonight. And, I mean, now if Mount Vernon's able to, burn and put together a nice long drive while burning clock, that's going to – you're just putting a lot of pressure on your defense here immediately to start the third quarter.
Holloway gets it blocked. The punt is blocked. It will bounce right at the 1-yard line. Holloway uses his great speed to go and fall on it, but it's going to be 1st and goal, Mount Vernon. And a special teams play for the Yellow Jackets. A blocked punt takes it all the way inside the 1-yard line. Wow.
Well, I think it just took a little bit too long getting the punt off.
Yeah.
An extra step or an extra second even. That ball's got to be out. I mean, Mount Vernon, I think, has done a pretty good job on special teams, specifically just, getting punts, returning punts, and then now with the punt block, they're doing a great job with that. And, I mean, that's just killer, though, for Heath. I mean, where they set up the 2-yard line, you basically got 4 plays to get 2 yards here if you're Mount Vernon.
1st and goal at the 2, up 24-8, and the block punt sets them up for a chance to go up 3 scores. And it's a handoff and a touchdown. Pretty easy.
Yeah.
We've said it a couple times. This is not your usual Mount Vernon Yellow Jacket football team. This Coach Weber has brought a winning style, a winning edge. He came from Taze Valley, where he was the winningest coach in school history. This is a whole new program, folks. LCL Buckeye better get ready.
Yeah, they look, they're looking, they're living up to the hype this year. I mean, we heard that they were improved. We saw, I think that win to Newark stood out to both of us, and now we see it.
Extra point is good. 31-8, Mount Vernon leads it. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on K98.7.
Trillium Farms, one of the leading egg producers in the country, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, we want you on our team. We're hiring maintenance technicians with industrial or agriculture backgrounds. Pay is $22.50 to $30 an hour based on experience with a very competitive benefits package. View our current job openings or apply online at versova.com. VERSOVA.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
Tired of door knockers and nonstop calls from out-of-town roofing and siding companies? You don't need strangers climbing on your roof. You need the trusted local experts. Call Mike's Roofing. Serving Lincoln County for 30 years. Voted best of the best in roofing and siding 5 years in a row. Mike'sRoofing.net. We handle it all from storm damage assessments to working directly with your insurance. We know the process and we'll get it done right. If it's broken, we can fix it. Let us take care of your home like our own. Mike'sRoofing.net. And that is Mike'sRoofing.net.
Now, back to high school football. Brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on K98.7.
Well, after the blocked punt, Luke Mullins takes it in from 2 yards out. And after he's had an 8-7 lead after the first quarter, it is 24 unanswered by the Jackets. And now they have blown this game open 31-8. And Heath is in full comeback mode now. And they've got to get something going, which they've just not been able to do. Already their second offensive possession of this third quarter. The first one went 3 and out. Gibson in the gun on this first and 10 from the 32, and he will hand it off, and a pretty good pickup of about 8 yards on that first down. Tristan Jones, who scored the touchdown for Heath in the first quarter, and he goes to the 39-yard line, so we'll call it second down and 4.
Yeah, the thing here for Heath is you can't get it all back in one play. You still got basically the entire second half to try to make the comeback here. It is doable. Slim chance it can happen. But if Heath's able to, you know, put together a nice drive here, I think, though, you do got to get the passing game clicking. If you're able to get that clicking, you're able to get a better chance of making a comeback.
Second down and 4. And going to have another infraction against Heath. So second and 4 becomes second and 9. And those are the ones that just changed the whole play calling of what you want to do.
Right, and it's happened to Heath here quite a few times, and it's just, it's really affected them, I think, more than Mount Vernon. Because both teams, I mean, Heath has, that's their 6th penalty, Mount Vernon 5, but it's just the timing and just the impact, I think, too, of the penalties that have gone against Heath.
And I think Mount Vernon's penalties, a bunch were early. They seem to have settled down a little bit. And now what do we have? Heath's got to call a timeout. They're just kind of out of sorts at the moment. So they will call a timeout, their first one here in the second half, trailing 31-8. And I'm just kind of wondering, too, we talked about Gibson with the confidence and consistency. And the times he's looked to throw the ball, and Derek, you may disagree with me, but it just seems like he's rolling out real quickly after he gets the snap. And it's tough to throw against your body, which he's thrown to the left side a couple of times, and then even tried the deep sideline pass. He was rolling to his right. It just seems like he might be a bit antsy when it might have a little bit more time to stay in the pocket.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. It doesn't look too confident throwing the football. But also, you know, when it does come to rolling out, maybe don't roll out. Just drop back. I think you got to change something, though. And you got to just get something short. Something easy, high percentage throw. Get him in some rhythm. Right, that's what's important. You got to, your quarterback has to find a rhythm. Once he gets that figured out, the yards will come.
After the timeout, second and nine, Gibson to throw, and it's a high pass, incomplete. That time he did have some pressure.
Yep.
And they had to get rid of it right away, but back to third and long again, second straight possession where the Bulldogs back against the wall here on third down.
Yeah, it's just been more of the, I mean, it's just been mainly screens, too. I mean, we haven't really been able to see Gibson, I think, really, you know, show off his accuracy all that much. Yeah, he's had the deep shot here and there, but I feel like the majority of his passes have just been these wide receiver screens.
Third and nine for Heath at their 34-yard line. Gibson low snap, and he's already rolling out, fires, and the catch is made, but not nearly enough for a first down. But, you know, in that play, it was a low snap, but he started running as soon as he got it.
To me, I think it's just, he just seems like maybe too worried about rolling out and getting in the right spot. That's what's on his mind, right? Going through his reads, going through his progressions and making the throw. So that's why I would say maybe, you know, just take him, talk to him, say, would you rather, look, we got to change something up here. Do you prefer to roll out or do you want to try to draw back? Now, that puts a lot more pressure on the offensive line. But if your quarterback, you got to figure out what your quarterback likes, right? And you got to try to do that.
Well, here's Holloway. He eludes one man to kick it, and it does bounce down to Mount Vernon at the 34-yard line. That was another almost disastrous special teams play, but Holloway was able to avoid one guy and then got it off. And so Mount Vernon will get it for the second time in the second half, just under a tick, 9 minutes, and they're in control, 31-8.
Well, I think Holloway may have the green light to go.
I wondered.
I think because he didn't look to punt immediately. He kind of looked to run first, so I thought, you know, maybe he had the green light to run if it was there, but if not, punt it, right? And he took a look.
It wasn't there,
right? So get rid of it.
First and 10, Mount Vernon at the 36. Here's a handoff to Hubbard. I tell you what, I know I've said it already a couple times, but as a freshman, he looks very polished. It's nice to have a senior quarterback with you, but I think this Hubbard kid's going to be something special for Mount Vernon in the next couple years.
Absolutely, yeah. Just a freshman. I mean, a lot of these guys on this Mount Vernon team that are playing and standing out are freshmen.
9 yards up to the 45, first and 10 for the Jackets there. 8.5 to play third quarter. Mount Vernon up 31-8, and a couple broken tackles, and it'll be enough for a first down.
Yeah, for Mount Vernon, I mean, there's no need to score anymore, really, for them. I mean, they are a touchdown away from the running clock, but the way they play offense, they pretty much have the running clock on. I mean, I do not expect them to throw a pass while they have this lead by two or three possessions.
Wouldn't that be something if two straight weeks we would see a team not throw a pass in the second half? Groveport with the one backwards pass in the second half last week. And, yeah, I agree with you. We'll see what Mount Vernon does. But you think they would keep it on the ground with Hubbard? He gets a nice hole up the middle. And this is where that offensive line just starts to wear on you. He gets a first down. And this is what Valley did last week. Heath led 7-0. And Valley just, again, did what they needed to do and just kept working and working and working. And they go on to the easy victory. I think the same blueprint is what we're seeing here from the Jackets.
Yeah, it seems to be that way.
Second and 5 at the Heath 46-yard line. Hand off and getting the first down and more across the 40 down to the 35. Inside the 35 is a gentleman we haven't called since that first possession, but he gets a first down right there, and that was being Ben Fitzpatrick down to the 33. Check that 32-yard line.
Yeah, and I think, too, we're not going to be seeing Richards probably. I mean, we'll see. Could prove me wrong, but I feel like, too, no need to bang up Richards more than he needs to, I think, with this lead.
First and 10 at the Heath 32. Mount Vernon up 31-8. Here's Newsom. And that they're fine with that. 4-yard pickup on first down. Clock keeps running. They just keep grinding.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking like, I mean, this is the perfect scenario for Mount Vernon. I mean, they're just going to continue to run the ball, bleed the clock, And then, yeah, they put this one in the end zone, and then, yeah, the clock becomes a best friend. The clock just becomes a running clock, so I'm sure that's what their plan is. And, yeah, no signs of throwing it, and I don't blame them.
They're at Heath's 28-yard line, second down and five there. Richards, handoff, big running room, and it's Hubbard again inside the 20, down to the 19. It will be another first down there for the Jackets. Stevens on the tackle for Heath, but Mount Vernon doing whatever they want to do at this point, and that is run the football. 6 minutes to go, third quarter, and the Jackets are up 31-8. So, first and 10 there. Richards takes his time, calls out the play, gets the snap, and here's a handoff on the left side. It's Hubbard again that time, about a one-yard pickup, and then a, again, super toss on a flag for 10 yards, and I think it's going against Mount Vernon, which it will be. He got all of his arm into that one. And personal foul against the Yellow Jackets. That will not make Coach Weber happy at all. You're in complete control. Moving right down, Heath does not look like they're able to stop you. And then a huge personal foul takes it all the way back to the 33-yard line.
Yeah, I'm sure they were wanting to, you know, put the ball in the end zone, put the exclamation point on this football game. But now, you know, after the personal foul, puts you in a tough spot.
How about second and 25 from the 32? Let's see what they call here. Maybe this will, nope, he's going to keep it. Richards makes one guy miss and then gets out of bounds smartly inside the 30-yard line. And it'll be third down, I believe. Third down, yep, third down and from the 28-yard line, so about third and 21.
And, yeah, I mean, likely four down territory, but we may see a pass here, I feel like, just to pick up this conversion.
He's calling his shot. He's calling his shot, folks.
I wouldn't hate to see a pass here, is what I would be. Was what I'm saying, just because, you know, to get that conversion, you know, so to get that touchdown.
Well, Mount Vernon's going to think about it, and they're going to call a timeout with 5:39 to go. Third quarter, Mount Vernon up 31-8. No Buckeye football tomorrow, so everyone get excited for Indiana and Illinois tomorrow night. The primetime game, who would have thunk? Fighting Illini and the Hoosiers. Who do you got in that one?
I'm going to Illinois in that one.
I like it. I think so. I think old Brett has got a pretty good team going. They've won a nice one on the road at Duke. I think Illinois finally burst that Indiana bubble because Indiana hasn't played anybody yet.
Yeah, and they lost a lot from that team last year, and I think Illinois is one of the teams that has one of their top productions from last year coming back. So, yeah, they're a team I'm worried about the Buckeyes facing later on the season, so I got to go with Illinois here.
That game at Champaign, that's never a fun place to play. It's just hard to believe we're talking about a primetime game between those two as kind of the marquee matchup. Iowa State in 2 weeks goes to Washington, and Garrett already knows I'm very, very nervous about that.
I think most fans are worried about that game, just because I think Washington has, like, what? I think they have the longest home winning streak, active winning streak in the country.
Yeah. And for old fans like me, we know how tough it is to play out there. Well, Garrett did call it. It was a screen pass across the middle, and Hubbard is hurt. He's the one who made the catch, and he is down on the ground. No, check that. That is not Hubbard. That is Damon Wolf, who did catch the touchdown pass. Wolf is down at the 28. And the trainers are coming out to take a look at him. So the clock stops at 5.5 to play third quarter. And Mount Vernon up 31-8. Again, updating some of the other scores with the T100 scoreboard show starting in about 13 minutes on our sister station T100. Licking Valley expanding their lead on Newark Catholic, 35-13. Watkins and Johnstown remain tied at 21. Northridge has a 14-7 lead over Zanesville. Granville now up over Utica 28-0. And Logan and Newark, it's 28-7 Wildcats. Lead that one in the second half. It's just a must-win for Newark with Canal and Pitt Central coming up next.
Yeah, absolutely. Very tough schedule for Newark coming up.
Canal leads Pitt Central 24-21. That game in the second half. That would be a mild upset.
Yeah.
But both those teams are real good. So we are back. It is 4th and 19. Looks like Mount Vernon will go for it. And they are going to throw. Got some pressure stepping up. And, oh, I was worried about a face mask, but I think Heath gets away, and they will make the tackle, and it'll be a turnover on downs. So good job. And as my man to the right always says, penalties will kill drives, and that personal foul just completely changed that possession for Mount Vernon.
Absolutely. I think it, too. I mean, it changed the director of the game a little bit there as well, because it looked like Mount Vernon was on their way to getting another touchdown,
yeah,
which would have started the running clock. And I feel like whenever the running clock starts, I mean, it's basically a no hope for the other team once that kicks in. But now, yeah, you get the personal foul, and the window slightly opens for the Bulldogs.
But Heath has to use a timeout. And it says that's their...
I think that is their second.
I think so, too. It says there's two left, but I think the Dogs, yeah, they have used. They've used two. So you're down to one timeout. You're down by 23. And 5 minutes to go, third quarter. It's an uphill battle. And not saying this game is over, but you really want to see some positive stuff before you start league play next week against Johnstown, because we know Johnstown's going to come in here feeling very confident, and they're in a battle tonight with Watkins, but that's basically small school versus big school, and they're handling their own against Watkins, and they took this Mount Vernon team to overtime last week. So, again, you love playing at home, but this is not an easy stretch for Heath whatsoever.
And, I mean, Johnstown, too, will be very similar play style as Mount Vernon, so you're going to get sample of that as well. But like you said, you want to get some positives here to take away on offense. I mean, besides that huge rush to start the game, there's nothing really that you can look at and to take away from this game, from this Heath offense. So, I'll keep saying it. I would really like to just see Gibson get comfortable back there and just get some high percentage throws. You know, not only to just get him going this game, but just for the rest of the season.
Because you're going to see 8 in the box.
Yeah.
If not more. And I think as the first play on first down gets about 3 yards, second down and 7, I think you got to find a way to get J.J. Holloway more in the game, too. He had those back-to-back pickups on catches to him of 17 and 11 yards, respectively, and really has not done much since then. He's a guy that can make something happen. He's in the backfield as they go under center on 2nd and 7. Old traditional I formation. Here's a handoff inside. And about 2 more yards. It's 3rd and about 5. Does this surprise you a little bit? Because, again, you got to see if he can do it.
Yeah, I mean, if not now, when?
Yeah.
Right? This is when you need, your passing attack to really get going when you're trailing games. Yeah, I don't know if they're just not confident. But, like I said, he's been rolling out primarily, and it just doesn't seem to be in rhythm, right, when he's been rolling out. So I would see what, he's just dropping back.
He is dropping back. He fires, and the catch is made right at the sticks. There was no running out. That was strict.
Yeah.
Deep pocket, and it is going to be enough for a first down. I think that's what we got to see.
Right. I mean, you just got to figure out what quarterbacks like, right? Not everyone's the same. Not every quarterback can roll out. And then, because you got a lot going on when you're a quarterback.
Oh,
yeah. You got to look at the pass rush. Got to look at what the linebackers are doing, and then you got to go through your progressions, right? So, and then adding rolling out on top of that, right? You got 10 things you're juggling in your mind.
Here's a handoff and getting about 6 yards, Tristan Jones.
Yeah, think about if you're 40 and you have to wonder if you got to pick up groceries after the game, what all is going to happen, you know. Again, if they give me opportunity, I have to take full advantage of it. Which I do think we will see. I think we'll see Gabriel for the Browns.
Yeah.
I
think you got to.
After this week, we'll see what happens, but I
wouldn't wait.
I why? Let's see what you
exactly.
got. Gibson to throw. Fires. Right there again. In the pocket. Good throw. Enough for a first down into Mount Vernon territory to the 48-yard line.
Yeah.
He's been a different quarterback the last two times he's thrown the ball.
Right, and the only different variable has just been him. It's just been a straight drop back, no rolling out. So when you do that, yeah, the only downside is you are putting more pressure on your offensive line, right, because your quarterback is going to feel the pressure. If there's if the offensive line gets breached, quarterback's going to feel the pressure a lot sooner. But if Gibson can't make the throws rolling out, then there's no point.
Be at the Mount Vernon 47, first and 10, 2:50 remains third quarter. And a nice run and getting across the 30, inside the 30-yard line. Once again, Tristan Jones, he's had his moments tonight as well. That's a good pickup, but that is allowed because they've been able to throw the ball the last couple times.
Right, yeah. Throwing the football will open up the rushing attack and vice versa. So, yeah, you really can't have one without the other.
First and 10 for Heath. Best drive since the second one of the game. And they're at Mount Vernon's 28-yard line. Trying to stop a 24-0 run here by the Yellow Jackets. First and 10, Gibson to throw. Stays in the pocket. Fires. He's got a man. Catch made. Did he hold it? Oh, they say no. Oh, my goodness. Not getting one break tonight from the Zebras or the Bulldogs. Boy, I thought he got it.
It looked good from up here. He must have, I think, almost hit the ground or turf, and he lost possession of it when he hit the ground. That's my only thing.
That's the only thing.
Which, you know, officials can be sticklers about that.
Certain ones.
Right.
But Garrett, that was the third straight good throw.
Right.
I mean, right on the money. Second down and 10. And here's a handoff up the middle, and another good run by Jones. Breaks three tackles, gets close to the 10-yard line, and it could be first and goal there. And all that is now is being able to throw the football. Well, we talked about, could we see some signs of life? We're starting to see it with this offense.
Yeah, I think after that first down, they doubled their first down total from the first half.
Yes,
I think it was their fourth first down. So, yeah, it's been a nice balance between throwing and passing. Gibson's looked a lot better. He's just been dropping back. He hasn't been having to roll out. And obviously that's what you kind of have to do with him, I think, going forward. That's what he's most comfortable with. That's where he can throw those accurate balls at.
So Jones takes it down to the 11. So they have a chance to get a first down without scoring. And there's a handoff to Jones, about a one-yard pickup to the 10, so it'll be second down there. 2:18 remains third quarter, 31-8, Mount Vernon.
Yeah, this is a difficult part now to score from the field, so we'll see what Heath does. I think you're going to have to eventually throw this one, you know, put the ball in the air if you're going to score against this Mount Vernon defense. They seem pretty adamant, I think, about forcing Heath to throw the ball if they want to score on him.
Second down just outside the 10. Gibson will throw. Plenty of time. Now he's going to scramble out. Throws against his body and a touchdown. There is a flag in the end zone. Hopefully defensive holding. And that's what it is. It's a touchdown. Bulldogs. And making the touchdown reception is Quentin Sunkel, and Heath goes down and gets a touchdown pass from Gibson. That makes it 31-14 with 1:46 to go, third quarter.
Yeah, just a much-needed touchdown pass there from Gibson. Not only cutting into this lead, but I think you just give your offense a lot of momentum. And kind of what we were talking about before this drive, there wasn't much to look at and take away positively from this offense. Well, that was a whole drive's worth of stuff.
Yep. It's like a whole different offensive unit.
Line did a pretty good job of protecting him, and Gibson gets the touchdown pass. It's 31-14, and let's see what Heath decides to do here. Looks like they're going to set up for the traditional point after with Montgomery. And try to get it back to a two-score game with two two-point conversions if they can score. Extra point, boy, they came in hard to block it, but he did get it up and in. So, everyone should be awake after that horn, 31-15. Mount Vernon still leads it with 1:46 to go in this third quarter. Solid drive by the Bulldogs after the turnover on downs. And really, a couple good runs there for Heath, but that was Gibson's show.
Yeah, it was. He looked very good there. Best he has all night on that drive. And we were just pointing out, he was dropping back. He was not rolling out like they have had him the majority of the game. So, good adjustment made by the Bulldogs offense. And, I mean, 1:46 to go. It is only a two-possession game. So, and it looks like Heath will kick off from the 50.
Did they tack on the defensive holding?
Are you able to do that? I don't know if you're able to do that if it's only on the extra point.
Well, but if it's a 10-yard, so it's not a personal foul, that's what I'm going to come up with.
I guess.
We learn something every year.
Yeah.
And you're trying to be nice, but let's call it as we need to call it. If they would tap into us up here in the box, we said keep him in the pocket. Did we or did we not?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. It's all right.
Onside?
Onside kick. Ball up in the air. Bulldogs got it, and they're returning it, which you cannot do. However, they did receive it, and they've got a chance here. And let's see what happens. There was a little skirmish, but I think everything's no flight, right? You do not need a flight here. Ball was bounced up high in the air. It was tipped off, and the Bulldogs get the onside kick, and it's all the way inside the Mount Vernon 30-yard line, I think at the 28.
Well, that's big.
Oh, that is mammoth.
But like we saw last week with Newark, they got an onside kick late in the fourth quarter, but then immediately went three and out. It's important now for Heath, though, to turn that onside kick into points.
Yes.
Keep the momentum going. You do not anything but a three and out right here or a turnover.
One thing about Coach Ward's team, they are never going to quit. And they've got a chance to knock on the door right here, down 31-15 with a minute 42 remaining, third quarter. Gibson waits for the snap. He gets it. And here's a handoff up the middle. And a flag comes in late. It's going to be a hold. Man, just can't have it. Just can't have it. Coach Ward and him are talking. Unless I'm wrong, but that sure looked like what the call was going to be.
Yeah, I think it is, just by the body language down there.
Yeah. So instead of, man, it would be second down and about two.
Personal foul? Well,
what was it? I mean, they just do a personal foul, but was it a blindside block? Was it a chop block?
It varies from week to week, right? About what the motioning, I think, is going to be.
You're just trying to get my goat. I know you are. Because, I mean,
Yeah, I would assume maybe block below the waist or something. I don't know. Some blocking, I think.
Well, how do you know? Because they don't say what it is.
Well, that's part of the fun. You got to guess.
I'm guessing there's no fun on the Heath sideline right now with that call. So it is first down now back to the 37. And here's the handoff on the right side. Nothing there. Good tackle again as Jones tried to get to the right side. He's cut off. And I'll tell you what, Coach Ward is going out on the field. He's got to be careful here.
Yeah.
He is right there with the head linesman. And, yeah, you've got to be careful here. He's out on the field. Coach Ward is not happy. I don't necessarily blame him. But I'm guessing they're not going to take too much more of that conversation. Probably lenient to let him come out on the field and say what he needed to say.
Right. You don't want to Another penalty here.
No.
Right? So.
Oh, he's not letting up. He is not letting up. Nevertheless, it's 2nd and 18 from the Mount Vernon 37. Gibson. Couple of fake handoffs. He is looking deep. He is looking for Holloway. He was tripped. And no call. And the coaches above us here at the press box, not happy. It was a trip. It was a trip. And, Garrett, if you're going to call that in the first half with that contact, you've got to call that.
Right, yeah.
You've got to call that.
The problem is, yeah, they called that in the first half for Mount Vernon.
Yep.
That's that pass interference that we're alluding to that really changed the game for the Yellow Jackets. It gave them a lot of momentum. And then we saw something very similar against the Bulldogs, but they did not get the flag that time.
3rd and 20 now, 45 seconds remain. Gibson over the middle and incomplete. He's looking for Holloway again coming across the middle, but it was a little bit too early on that throw, so it's fourth down. So hard to believe back-to-back weeks we've seen teams recover onside kicks and just not able to get anything going. And I think it's 4th and 20. I think you have to kick it and see if you can pin them deep.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only choice you got here. Yeah, like I was saying, I mean, you know, getting the onside kick really should be the hardest part.
Yeah.
Right, with the probability and everything,
well,
you know, getting onside kick.
They're going to try a field goal of 55 yards. You smelling fake?
No.
Okay. You're right. Here's the kick. It's going to be short. It will, and I understand that. You want to try to get some type of points off of the onside kick, but that possession, a personal foul, and then a missed, and it was a missed PI on Mount Vernon inside the 5-yard line. So the Bulldogs, I guess you say, get turned away, not necessarily by Mount Vernon's defense, but by the officials, and the Jackets are able to hold off an onside kick. And it will be marked at the 20-yard line with 36 seconds to go. Everybody's temperature got up a little bit there, but it stays 31-15.
Yeah, it's just an unfortunate turn of events there for the Bulldogs. I mean, they kind of all got set up, though, by that personal foul.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like once that personal foul, once they called that,
and here comes a big run by you-know-who, quarterback Mason Richards. All right, he hadn't done much in this third quarter. He just took care of that and switched the field. Momentum switch right there takes it all the way to the Bulldog 39-yard line.
Yeah, that was, I feel like whenever he has had a letdown this game or, you know, he's kind of just down, and Richards can sense it, and he takes advantage of it.
Yep. And he sure did right there. 25 seconds to go, third quarter. 1st and 10 now, Mount Vernon at the Heath 39. And here's a handoff. Oh, nice cut by Hubbard. He'll take it down to about the 33-yard line and get 6 yards on that pickup, and that'll be the final play of the third quarter. Mount Vernon leads Heath 31-15, or one quarter to go here at Swank Field. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Husqvarna's riding lawnmowers are designed from the turf up to deliver cutting-edge performance and versatility for any sized property. Powerful, durable, and easy to operate, Husqvarna riding lawnmowers feature air induction technology cutting decks for superior cutting and pedal-operated transmissions for maximum operator control. And Husqvarna riding lawnmowers can be equipped with a wide variety of attachments to help you maintain your property any time of the year. Check out the versatility of Husqvarna riding mowers at Wright Brothers Power in Newark.
This is Chris from KSEP's Auto Body. Collision repair as an industry and car accidents in general have changed things. Time frames are longer than they used to be. There's no doubt about that. But just rest assured that KSEP's has taken training in moving vehicles through the process as safely and as quickly as possible. So even though it may feel like it's taking a while, KSEP's is always working on your car and we're always moving the process forward the best way that we can. KSEP's Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSEP's, quality you can trust.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating and Lincoln Memorial Health Systems on KATE 98.7.
We start the fourth quarter. Mount Vernon gets a first down on a run by Hubbard inside the Heath 30. Let's pause for station identification. This is the High School Football Game of the Week on KATE 98.7.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, KATE 98.7.
Brian Mays, Garrett Wandle. We are at Heath High School. Mount Vernon leads the Bulldogs 31-15. 11:40 remains in this fourth quarter. First and 10 Jackets at the Bulldog 28-yard line. And here's a inside handoff to Mullins, and he will break free inside the 30 to about the 27. Mount Vernon led 24-8 at halftime. Expanded it to 31-8. The Bulldogs then answered with a touchdown of their own, then got an onside kick recovery, but were not able to move the football down. And now Mount Vernon looking to close this one out after getting a huge run by their outstanding quarterback, Mason Richards, taking it from the 20 down to Heath's 39-yard line. And now they are at the 20. And here's a handoff inside, and getting close to 10 yards is Fitzpatrick. And they will say it is enough for a first down. And Jackets now doing what they want to with that offensive line, taking control.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a ticking time bomb right now. You can kind of know that they're going to eventually reach the end zone. It's just a matter of how long. And, of course, they're going to bleed as much clock on their way to reach it as possible.
First down at the 11-yard line. Richards, inside handoff. Hubbard takes a couple of tacklers with him inside the 5 to about the 4. Well, we know who looking, or I should say Mount Vernon, is going to play over the next 5 weeks. Granville, Valley, Heights, Watkins, and Zanesville. I see two or three wins. I think it might come down to, you know, how they perform against Granville and Valley, but this team, I think, is going to be at least 5-5.
Yeah, and I was just saying, I mean, I think Granville's got to be careful about this game. I mean, this is a trap-like game for them, because if Mount Vernon brings their A game and Granville shows up how they did last week against Washington Courthouse, they could be in for a rude awakening.
Pick up for Fitzpatrick of 2 yards down to the 3. It'll be second goal there. And right now, Granville is taking care of Utica 35-0, but you would expect that after the loss they had last week. But yeah, the LCL Buckeye could get interesting. I think, again, Valley is above everybody else, but
yep.
You better not take this team lightly that we're seeing tonight.
Nope. I feel like this could be a trap game, though. Valley and Granville have to prepare very well and thoroughly for the Yellow Jackets.
You can't look ahead to week 8
no.
When you're playing each other. So Mullins gets the carry. He is going to be shy of the touchdown, but enough for a first down. So it's first and goal, Jackets at the 1 yard line with 9 minutes to go in this fourth quarter. Full house backfield behind Richards. And he will keep it, and he will score. So, Mason Richards is advertised. 2 touchdown runs, 2 touchdown throws, and Mount Vernon goes up now 37-15 with 8:56 to play in this fourth quarter. Coach said in the pregame, keep it simple, and each time that they've shot themselves in the foot, they haven't scored. When they haven't done that, they've scored.
Yeah, I mean, they would have scored on that previous drive if it weren't for that personal foul.
Yeah.
It seems like, yeah, the only other time they got stopped in the first half was because false start.
Height on to attempt the extra point and make it a 38-15 contest. He is ready. Richards holds, snap down, kick on the way,
And it is good. 8:56 to go, fourth quarter. Mount Vernon up 38-15. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Tank top, sweater, raincoat, snow parka. Which was it this morning when you left home? Hi, Chase Houston of Houston Plumbing and Heating. Ohio weather isn't predictable, but one thing sure is, York and Houston. For comfort you can count on year-round, call us today for a free estimate on an energy-efficient York heating and cooling system. When the temperature outside is up and down, York and Houston Plumbing and Heating will keep your inside cozy and comfy. Call us today at 740-763-3961. One call does it all. Ohio license number 25394.
Comfort is everything, and at Rent-to-Own, comfort is easy to bring home. Right now, you can win up to $150 off your next rental by playing Spin to Win on our website. We've got brand name furniture like Ashley, the latest iPhones and iPads, washers and dryers that make life simple, and more. Stock is going fast, and this deal ends September 30th, so don't wait. Shop in-store or online at r2o.com. No purchase necessary.
Listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Kasep's Auto Body and Service Center and Trillium Farms, here on Kate 98.7.
Kickoff returned across the 30 for Heath after the touchdown run by Richards. Made it 38-15. Jackets on top. Licking County Locker Room Monday. We'll talk some Heath football as well as girls golf from Ship Brothers. Starting at 6:30, you can join us in person or listen right here on Kate 98.7, Licking County Locker Room on Monday at 6:30. First and 10, Heath at the 32-yard line, trailing by 23, 38-15. And let's see if they can have taken away from the onside kick possession. The possession before was very, very solid with Gibson taking the team down the field. Let's see what they can do here. Trips to the near side on first and 10. Gibson to throw. In trouble. Rolls to his right. Eludes one man. Now fires deep. He's got a man. Catch is made. 30 down to the 20. What did you do? You've got this guy going now. He's throwing the football as well as he has all night.
Yeah, that was probably his best throw he's had. Deep downfield.
Quentin Suckle on the catch. Down to the Mount Vernon 19. Heath will not go away. And you got to like to see that in the fight from this ball club. They easily have packed it up, but they are still battling. Here's Gibson. Rolling left. Looking. Firing. He's got a man open. Catch is made inside the 5 and knocked out of bounds at about the 3. That would be Joe Ward. Ward with his first catch of the night. Two plays. Here come the Dogs.
Yeah, this is a high explosive offense that we haven't seen too much of from the Bulldogs over the past couple years, but 2 yards away from a three-play touchdown drive here.
First and goal at the 2. Clock is stopped at 8:25, fourth quarter, 38-15. And Heath coming up to the line. Gibson will go under center, full house backfield. Handoff, touchdown, Bulldogs. That is Tristan Jones taking it on the left side. And after the traffic jam ends, it'll be 38-21. And we'll see what the Bulldogs decide to do at 8:23, fourth quarter. That was about as simple as it gets. Three plays, like you said.
Yeah, I think. I mean, yeah, obviously, Gibson, I think, has found his confidence in this game. And, too, that may have been Mount Vernon kind of sleepwalking, I think, to start that drive off. At least on that first play, I don't think they're expecting Heath. I mean, because, yeah, like you said, a little over 8 minutes ago, you're down by 3 possessions. Most teams probably packed it in by now.
Montgomery's kick hits the upright, but it does sail through. 38-22, 8:23. I assume you're going onside here.
Oh, yeah, you got to now. But, yeah, Yellow Jackets will be ready for it this time. So, I mean, the hard part's making the onside kick happen. We'll see if they can do it again. But now you're looking at, too, only one timeout left
right
for Heath.
Right.
And the next two touchdowns, like, you have to pick up the two-point conversions. So there's a lot of things that have to go right, but it is possible.
Johnstown has taken a 36-28 lead over Watkins. Licking Heights has defeated Lakewood 45-zip, their first win on the season for the Hornets. And Licking Valley has just defeated Newark Catholic 57-13. So the Panthers move to 5-0 on the season, and they just continue to roll. And they just wear you down. They just wear you down in the second half. Again, Brody Rogers is a good quarterback. Nothing flashy. They just know what they do, and they do it well.
Yeah, it's a very just traditional.
Yeah.
Right? It's a traditional game plan. It's a traditional team, and there's no panic.
Here's the onside kick, but it takes way too big of a bounce. This time goes all the way down to the 32, but the ball came out. Oh, but Mount Vernon gets it at the 30. Oh, my goodness. Thought he might be able to pounce on it, but it gets recovered at the 30-yard line. Oh, that was close.
They had the chance there.
Yep. And there is a penalty also against Mount Vernon.
Legal block.
Oh, they actually showed it. They actually made the infraction.
EA announcer.
Oh.
So, I'm just going off what he said. I mean, yeah. I mean, so I assume maybe some sort of signal to save that infraction.
They might have done Morse code for all I know.
Well, that is what it is. It is Morse code.
Kind of is. All right, so they are going to mark the ball back to the Yellow Jackets' 22-yard line. 8-17, 38-22, Mount Vernon leads Heath. Jackets with the ball. Mason Richards at quarterback. Again, four touchdowns tonight, two on the ground, two in the air. And here's the handoff to Hubbard on the left side. Breaks one tackle. Bulldogs, I don't blame them. They're trying to strip it probably more than tackle at this point, and that made sense. But when that happens in a good running team, they're going to pick up the first down, and Hubbard just did.
Right, and I would – right, they did give him the first down.
Yeah.
I would – with over eight minutes to play, well, now under 8 minutes, but I would just try to force a three and out. I think getting a three and out is a higher probability of stripping the ball.
First and 10 for the Jackets at the 32. Here's Hubbard again. And bounces off a couple guys and will take it to the 36. And we talked about him being a freshman. He's not overly big either. 5'9", 168. So he's using what he's got, that's for sure.
I mean, yeah, those numbers are only going to go up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. By his senior year, look out. Second and 5 at the Jackets 37, taking their sweet time. Still 7:15 left if you can get a stop. If you can get a stop.
Right.
Second and 5, Richards in the pistol. Gets the snap. Here comes a blitz, and the run blitz works. Loss of a couple yards to Fitzpatrick there. Well, here comes Captain Obvious, but it's a must stop here on third down and a long 7.
Absolutely. And we'll see what the Yellow Jackets draw up. I tend to be on the more aggressive side, but I always feel like, you know, they have the 2-possession lead. I get that, but you got to keep your foot on the gas,
yeah.
Right? You lose games playing too safe, I feel like.
Oh, my goodness. I apologize, folks. You're like, oh, my goodness, what? Well, we got an infraction against the Bulldogs offsides. And that's why I would never want to be a head coach. You got it drawn up. You've got them third and long. Now it's third and 3. Changes everything. Because you got to stay positive. But, man, that is a killer. Absolute killer. So up to the 39-yard line. They got to get to the 42. Third and a long 3 because the ball's on the inside part of the 39-yard line.
Yeah.
But, again, it's also bleeding the clock, too.
Yeah, it gave him additional 30 seconds to burn. And now, I mean, now you can just run it.
Yep.
I'm all for running it now.
Richard is under center on this third down. He fumbles the ball. I think he got back on it, but he pulled out a little too quickly there. Didn't have the ball. He falls back on it. It's fourth down. And you got to kick it up by two scores.
Oh, yeah, you got to, yeah. So, nope. Bulldogs catch a little bit of a break there that time.
And they need a break, and they deserve a break.
Mount Vernon will be forced to punt it away. Heath will get it. About 5 minutes left to go. The only issue, I think, now is just that one timeout. I mean, we'll see. They have to put the ball in the end zone and get the two-point conversion.
Here's the punt, and it will be angled, and it will bounce at about the 29 and be down there by Mount Vernon. So Jackets up 38-22. Heath has the ball at the 29. 5:17 to go in this contest. Again, they need to score two touchdowns and get two-point conversions, which is difficult to do, but it is doable. And they have the ball. They're going to mark it inside the 30.
Yeah, and it's important, first and foremost, you get the ball in the end zone, but you have to be mindful of the clock, right? Because you just got to assume you aren't going to recover the onside kick. So ideally, you want to put the ball in the end zone here with at least 3 minutes left to play, because you do only have the one timeout to stop the clock.
Gibson rolls deep, fires deep, and incomplete as he was looking for Sunkel. One-on-one coverage there. And there was some pushing right there, but I think that actually was a good no-call.
Yeah, I agree. That's just kind of the hands play that a receiver and defensive back have to get some separation. But, yeah, that one a little underthrown that time from Gibson. Fortunate, though, that defender wasn't able to get his hands on it. But, I mean, that's what you're going to be trying to look for. You're looking for those deep shots.
Yep.
And that's what Mount Vernon is prepared for, right? They've got to kind of keep everything in front of them style defense. You can let them score here, but make them, use 3-4 minutes off the clock.
Second and 10, Gibson rolls to his left, lobs it up. He's got a man open. Catch made at the 50 and into Mount Vernon territory down to the 40-yard line. That is Joe Ward with his second catch, and he's down to the 40. I thought Gibson might run it there, but then he lobbed it nicely to Ward in a big pickup. Here's Heath at the Jackets, 45 minutes exactly to go. Fourth quarter, 38-22, Mount Vernon.
Yeah, this is a good decision by Gibson because, he could have ran for it. Maybe picked up 5-6 yards, went out of bounds, but instead saw his receiver Ward open with a lot of field in front of him.
Coach Weber calls a timeout. We'll take one as well. 38-22, Mount Vernon on the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Do you come home to find your trash thrown all over the ground, driveway, or yard? Or are you just tired of paying too much just to get rid of your trash? Call Shackelford's Disposal today, offering a weekly residential trash service at honest and fair pricing. Shackelford's also offers commercial and dumpster services for your weekend and construction projects. So call Shackelford's Disposal at 740-366-0001, where you get the real deal.
Trillium Farms, one of the leading egg producers in the country, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, we want you on our team. We're hiring maintenance technicians with industrial or agriculture backgrounds. Pay is $22.50 to $30 an hour based on experience with a very competitive benefits package. View our current job openings or apply online at versova.com. VERSOVA.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on Kate 98.7.
Back to live action. It's second down and 3 for Heath after Gibson was able to connect with Ward for a second time on this drive. And here's a handoff getting the first down, 30-25, down to the 24-yard line. Tristan Jones, clock will stop. They'll take it all the way to the 22, 4:15 left. And you're right, Mount Vernon is breaking on defense. They want the clock to run, but Heath has taken advantage and close to the red zone here.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I feel like Heath is winning his possession. About only minutes been off the clock, and they're looking to score right here.
And Gibson looking in the end zone, but nobody's there. And the pass should have been intercepted, but it goes out of bounds. Might have been miscommunication on that play. Heath lucky to live another day.
Yeah, I mean, that pretty much, I think, went through the hands of a Yellow Jacket defender that time. But yeah, very fortunate. I think that was two times on this drive that Gibson's been fortunate that the ball was not intercepted, and probably won't be a third. I don't think so. So you got to be careful here. You know, if you'd like to get this one in the end zone with a little over 3 minutes left to play here still, but you don't want to rush it by throwing an interception. That will kill your chances before they even begin. And
oh, keep going, because I have no idea. Official stop play.
I thought, yeah, that there's going to be a timeout from Heath, but
are they just, they're just moving it from one hash to the... Okay.
Yeah, I get the right hashes, all right?
I guess you do, even though you ran a play in between. 4:02 left. Gibson looking deep, and that one...
That one is picked,
boy, you called it.
Yeah.
You did call it. And that one's intercepted at the one-yard line. Yep, you got a third opportunity, and that one is picked off. Looks like that was Darian Monahan who intercepts it. Going for the fade to the back or to the front of the end zone, but it falls up short. Interception, and Mount Vernon will take over at the two-yard line, up 38-22 at 3:55.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really blame Gibson too much for that. You're looking to score quick, all right? That's first and foremost. So you're going to be throwing it in these tight windows. That's what he's been doing. But that time, the Yellow Jackets able to take advantage of it and force the interception.
So Mount Vernon pushed back deep in their own territory. It'll be at the two-yard line, first and 10 there. Again, Heath with just one timeout. Richards under center will probably just try to move this forward a little bit on a quarterback keep. He's taking his time.
I think he's trying to draw Heath off sides.
Down to 4 seconds on the play clock. They're going to call a timeout, and they will. So, they now have one timeout left. Each team has one.
Oh, I think that's it for here.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, it is. It is zero. It is zero. So, again, the Bulldogs start LCL Cardinal play next week right here at Swank Field. A game we'll have for you here on Kate 98.7 as they bring Johnstown to town with the Johnnies. Pregame at 6:45 and the live kickoff at 7 p.m. As we start league play in both the LCL Buckeye and Cardinal next week. As for Mount Vernon, they will start Buckeye play entertaining Zanesville. So they start league play home to Zanesville, at Watkins, home to Heights, then they end with the two best, at Valley and home to Granville. But they could have a decent amount of momentum going into those last two games.
Yeah, fishing this one out. I mean, yeah, they could be maybe on like a 5-5 game winning streak heading into those two games.
And here's an inside handoff to Mullins. He'll get a couple yards, still moving the pile. Does get across the 5 to about the 6. And as Coach Franks was D1 Coach of the Year last year with Newark going 7-3, if Mount Vernon has a winning record this year, you got to look at Coach Weber as getting Coach of the Year.
Absolutely. And there's no reason to think why they won't have a winning record based off, you know, if they close this one out, be 3-2, and then their schedule going forward. From what you read out to me, I at least see two more wins in there.
Yeah, I think so. And another handoff short of a first down to about the 8-yard line, but we are coming up on 3 minutes to play in this one. And Mount Vernon up 38-22.
And pretty much just one more first down here for Yellow Jackets will essentially end this game. No rush for them. They're just looking to bleed this one out. Head home. Picking up their third win of the season.
Third down and about 4. 2:42 to go. Richards under center. And it will do a toss. And getting the first down across the 15 is for Patrick. And that should just about do it. Good job by the line, just giving him enough daylight, and he's able to get the first down. And with just one timeout left for Heath, the clock running under 2.5 to play, looks like Mount Vernon will get a road victory here tonight at Swank Field pretty impressively. leading 38-22. Richards comes up under center. He's got a full house backfield behind him. And here's the handoff. Fitzpatrick once again. And Heath will use their final timeout. We'll check the scoreboard for you one more time. And in case you're interested, just from a baseball perspective, the Guardians lead Minnesota 2-0. That game's in the fifth inning. And Cleveland just a game and a half out of the wild card and 3.5 behind the Detroit Tigers after sweeping the Kitties in the Motor City. Pretty impressive by that group. Legend Valley did defeat Newark Catholic 57-13. It's still 36-28 Johnstown. Northridge, Vikings get their second win. They win at Zanesville 21-13. Heights victorious over Lakewood 45-0. Granville defeats Utica 35-0. Newark on the road, victorious over Logan 49-7. So the Cats go back over 500, 3-2. They'll take on Canal Winchester. They're in a shootout with Pitt Central tonight. Tigers now have reclaimed the lead 36-30. That game late in the second half. So those are some of the updates for you. The rest of them on the T100 High School Football Scoreboard Show underway on our sister station, T100, until 11 tonight. Mark Bruce and Lee Waller. Handoff across the 20 to about the 21-yard line for Fitzpatrick as we hit under 2 minutes to play in this one. Well, I'm not big on moral victories, Garrett, but I do think Heath has found some life offensively in the second half.
Yeah, and it was really desperately needed because we were saying that there wasn't much to be positive about or take away from this game offensively, and then kind of as we were saying, you know, there needs to be maybe a switch up with Gibson without maybe not rolling out, just dropping back. They did switch to it, and he looked like a completely different quarterback.
Made some real good throws down the field. And Johnstown will try and take away the run.
Right.
And that opportunity will probably be there next week. And I think both of those ball clubs feel like whoever wins that next Friday is going to have the inside track to the league championship. Should be a good one. It'll be homecoming here at Heath. As we are under a minute, fourth down and four. Punt formation here for the Yellow Jackets, who will now exceed their win total from last year and exceed or tie the most wins the team had had in the previous 3 years before Coach Weber came. So they are definitely heading in the right direction. Punt is fielded by Heath and will be downed at the 36-yard line with 31 ticks to go in this one. So a couple more plays for the Bulldogs, and that will wrap up this one. They'll mark it at the 35. First and 10 there for Heath. So Mount Vernon comes to town, gets the 16-point victory. And we'll have a pretty good amount of momentum heading into LCL Buckeye play next week. First and 10, Heath. Gibson will roll right, looking, fires deep, and out of bounds. It goes at 26 seconds.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting how that game against Johnstown starts next week, too, because Mount Vernon and Johnstown, we touched on a little bit, very similar teams. They're both going to be trying to primarily run the football. I mean, I'd be shocked if Johnstown airs it out as much as Mount Vernon did tonight, but you never know what can happen, because we weren't expecting Mount Vernon to air it out that much here tonight, but Heath has found a little bit of mojo here on offense, and I think it's just important to build on that this week in practice and start out next week, you know, doing what they did towards the end of this game with Gibson, because you know, you can't just, you know, Johnstown is going to, you know, force Heath to throw the football.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be forced in those situations, right? And that's why I think what Mount Vernon did better than Heath tonight is, rather than, you know, be forced to throw the football and be forced in those passing situations, Mount Vernon decided to pass when no one was expecting to, right? And that way, the passing attack's a lot easier, right? Your receivers are able to get open a lot easier. And then it just works out a lot easier than being forced into a situation.
Gibson to throw. He's got some pressure. Eludes one man. Now fires. Catch made at midfield. Out of bounds with 12 seconds to go. And I think he's just got to, again, understand there's always a clock in your head when you're a quarterback, but might need to understand, take one or two more seconds, even a half a second sometimes. Stay in the pocket. You talked about it. Read your reads. Look downfield, maybe your checkdowns, before you start running. But we definitely have seen him significantly improve in this second half. No question about that. Second down and six at midfield. Under 10 seconds to go. He's rolling right. Fires, catch made. Out of bounds at the 46 with 7 seconds. So probably one more play. Might as well heave it down into the end zone. See what can happen. As it's third down and two from the 46. Thanks to Bo Hansen, athletic director at Heath, for his setup for this evening. And we get to bug him again next Friday.
Yeah. I do have a little fun fact for you here.
Lay it on me, big man. Lay it on me.
It's not going to be true after in about 7 seconds, but heading into this game, both Mount Vernon and Heath, through four, both gave up 103 points. Exactly.
And there you have it.
So that is now different.
Yep, there you go. Final play, screen pass gets it down to the 30-yard line. That'll do it. Mount Vernon comes to Heath and defeats the Bulldogs by a final of 38-22. We'll review this one after a timeout as you're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Volunteering is a great way to stay active and engaged in your community. Licky Memorial Hospital will host the Polly Mitchin Volunteer Recruitment Event on Tuesday, September 30th from 3 to 4:30 p.m. in the John and Mary Alford Pavilion. Attendees can talk with current volunteers to learn about the vital role that volunteers play in providing support and comfort to patients and visitors. For more information, contact the volunteer office at 220-564-4084.
Tired of door knockers and nonstop calls from out-of-town roofing and siding companies? You don't need strangers climbing on your roof. You need the trusted local experts. Call Mike's Roofing, serving Licking County for 30 years, voted best of the best in roofing and siding 5 years in a row. Mike'sRoofing.net. We handle it all from storm damage assessments to working directly with your insurance. We know the process, and we'll get it done right. If it's broken, we can fix it. Let us take care of your home like our own. Mike'sRoofing.net, and that is Mike'sRoofing.net.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating and Licky Memorial Health Systems on Kate 98.7.
Back here at Swank Field, our final score tonight, Mount Vernon defeats Heath 38-22 in this LCL crossover matchup. As it was a pretty exciting start to this ball game. Mount Vernon got the ball first, took it down in 10 plays, 73 yards, and a touchdown pass, 31 yards. They led 7-0, and Heath came right back on a 57-yard touchdown run and got the two-point conversion, led it 8-7 after one. Mount Vernon owned the second quarter as they were able to get a couple of touchdowns, including another touchdown pass on a fourth and goal from the 7, and then added a field goal with just seconds to go to lead it 24-8. They made it 31-8 after a blocked punt set up a short 2-yard touchdown run. Bulldogs then got going and got a touchdown, making it 31-15. But then an opportunity after an onside kick recovering, the personal foul, a non-PI was called. They had to turn it over on a punt, and then a huge run by Richards, their quarterback, for Mount Vernon, takes it down, and the Jackets get another touchdown. Heath answers, but the final 38-22. So, again, you're looking for positives for Heath getting ready for league play next week. I think the second half showed a lot of grit and determination and focus, and they've got to clean up some things, especially I think you would say penalties, because they really did hurt them on a couple of big plays.
Yeah, 8 penalties tonight for the Bulldogs, and yeah, they came at very inopportune times. I felt like they definitely won the second half after that punt was blocked. Right? Yep. It was all kind of, it was more the same with the first half, right? They went three and out. Punt was blocked. It was looking very, very grim for the Bulldogs. But after that moment, I felt like they were the better team. They were able to make, you know, mount a little bit of a comeback. They did get that onside, like you said, but the main reason why it was really shut down is because of a personal foul, which maybe you'll find out Monday night, right? You can clarify.
Yes,
know
maybe.
That bothered you. But, yeah, a personal foul, which backed him up 15 yards, and then, like you said, the should have probably been a flag there, a pass interference, but it was not called. But Gibson looked a lot better in the second half, a lot more confident quarterback. They changed up him not rolling out as much, more dropbacks. I think that's probably what they have to continue doing next week against Johnstown because he has to play well, right? You can't be one-dimensional. You can't just run the football. You have to have him. I mean, when he's been able to drop back and look comfortable and confident, he's made some pretty good throws here in the second half from what we saw. So I think really I would like for him next week, them to just come out throwing and just build his confidence up early rather than having to rely on it maybe late when you're, you know, trailing or when the running game isn't working. Get it built up, get it going early, because I feel like once he's going, that's when this Heath offense is really, you know, firing on all cylinders and a big threat to scoring big plays.
When he really steps into the throw, it is a very solid throw. He doesn't maybe necessarily look off the receiver, and that's something else to work on down the road because some defenses might jump it. But again, it was a night and day from what we saw in the first half to the second half with a couple of really good throws down the field, good solid intermediate throws as well. So I think there's a lot to build on for Heath moving forward against Johnstown. On the flip side, this Yellow Jackets team is pretty darn good. I'm very interested to see, do they have enough to take it to that next level and get ready for the end of the season? You got to take it one game at a time, but it's right in front of them to get three more victories before they see Licking Valley, and they could be 7-2 going into that.
Absolutely.
6-2, excuse me, 6-2.
Right. Don't jump the gun, right? Like we
I always like to jump the gun.
We like to do it. I mean, look, maybe some recency bias since we just saw them play and they look very impressive, but I agree with you. I think, I think they can at least have that winning record or at least go 500 this year. I think they definitely have the capability, especially with picking up their third win here tonight. But, yeah, they look very, very good. I liked what they did, too. It's just, you know, passing, really, on that first possession, right? Getting that out of the way. Just, you know, not only get quarterback confidence, but you're keeping the defense on their toes, right? They're not able to completely sell out to the rushing attack. I think, really, Heath needs to do that next week to have similar success, hopefully, against Johnstown.
And Richards, besides the fumble, which he was able to recover, I think he just made play after play tonight and just makes the right decisions all the time. He seems to be a heady quarterback who knows what is needed from his ball club, and he delivers. We'll wrap it up after our final timeout as you've been listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on K98.7.
Time for sports and Hex Wrenchman.
We've seen numerous rushing penalties as players hurry into New Lex Hardware to get everything they need to sweep up this season. We're sure to see the defense get raked and bagged as the offense makes nothing but house calls. Victory this season is sealed with brand new caulk and in-store experts on hand to coach you on your projects. Get everything you need for a winning season at New Lex Hardware.
This is Chris from KSEP's Auto Body. Collision repair as an industry and car accidents in general have changed things. Time frames are longer than they used to be. There's no doubt about that. But just rest assured that KSEP's has taken training in moving vehicles through the process as safely and as quickly as possible. So even though it may feel like it's taking a while, KSEP's is always working on your car and we're always moving the process forward the best way that we can. KSEP's Auto Body in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSEP's, quality you can trust.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by KSEP's Auto Body and Service Center and Trillium Farms, here on K98.7.
Monday, Licking County Locker Room. We'll be talking Heath football and girls golf from Ship Brothers Live beginning at 6:30. We'll stay here at Swain Field next Friday night for our high school game of the week. We kick off LCL Cardinal play with Johnstown. The Johnnies coming in, taking on the Bulldogs pregame 6:45 and live kick at 7. High school football scoreboard show underway currently. At T100, you can check in with Mark and Lee for all the scores there. Had a rookie starting tonight back at the studio. Steve, I think, on his own for the first time. Well done. CJ, if you popped in to help, I'll give you a little bit of credit. Not a lot, but I'll give you a little credit. But well done, gentlemen, for, again, your services tonight for high school football. For Garrett Wandle, this is Brian Mays. Again, your final score from Heath High School. The Bulldogs fall to Mount Vernon 38-22. Have a great rest of your Friday and weekend, everybody. You've been listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
This has been High School Football on Kate 98.7. Tonight's game was brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating, Lincoln Memorial Health Systems, KSEP's Auto Body and Service Center, Trillium Farms, Mike's Roofing, and Wind Waste Innovations.